Good evening and Happy New Year to one and all. You are in the Fred Burleson Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. This is January 8th, 2015. I'm your host, John Bollier, and it is nice to have you all here tonight. Our presenter is going to be Joy Jackson. She's going to start our new year off. And, of course, we're going to start things off as we normally do with Mr. Larry Gassman in Fullerton, California, and same time, same station, Yesterday USA, and whatever else he has on his mind. So, without further ado, Larry, the mic is yours.
Wow, that was a huge buffer. Didn't hear anything you said, but that's fine. We don't need to.
Are you serious? You didn't hear anything?
I heard you fine, sir. On my end, John came in clear.
I also heard the whole thing.
Okay, I think I know what's going on. Walden is uploading stuff to me, and I'll bet you the upload speed messed up my ability to hear. So hang on a second. Let me give me 30 seconds. Let me turn Dropbox off so that I can hear what's going on.
Yeah, no wonder. I was just going to comment on the fact that you were kind of buffering a bit, a couple minutes ago? So that's probably what it was.
Okay, now I've turned it off, so we'll see. Is that any better? Can you tell?
All right, now you're sounding fine. If you can hear us, then you're good to go. So let's try it one more time. Let's go to Fullerton, California, and same time, same station, Yesterday USA, and whatever else is on his mind, here's Larry Gassman.
Yeah, we'll center it on radio, and then I'll talk about some other stuff later outside of this little report. By the way, before we begin with same time, same station, Bill Bragg is on vacation, and so John and I tonight will be with Walden at 7:30, and we're going to play some shows that probably haven't been out there that long. They're not brand new and have not just been released, but I would guess probably within the last few months or so. So we've picked some shows that would fall into that category. It's www.yesterdayusa.com. And that's 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 Eastern. With regard to same time, same station, we are doing part three of our look at Harry James with Perry Huntoon, who was a part of Eddie Hubbard and the Browsers. That starts Sunday. Also, we'll be playing an interview that Arnold Dean. Howard Dean, you all know who he is. Arnold Dean was a huge sports broadcaster, but also did a lovely big band show for WTIC beginning in 1970. And he retired in 2009, passed away in 2012. And he interviewed Harry James for his first show in 1970. So you'll hear that too. And there'll be some other things too, because I got to fill in some time, because they don't quite all make it to 2 hours. So we'll see what happens there. Got a feeling maybe we'll fill with some records. We'll see. Anyway, that's for Radio Out of the Past. Sorry. I hope my sound card was down. Okay. That's for Radio Out of the Past. Download probably Monday or Tuesday, and that's same time, same station. Friday night on Yesterday USA, Frank Brzee will talk with Walden about Johnny Grant. And then we'll have Donnie Pitchford on to talk about the Lumen Abner comic strips, plus some other things. There are a couple of other announcements that I think he's going to make about some upcoming events. So more about that on Friday. And we'll probably celebrate people's birthdays and play some shows. And then Sunday on Yesterday USA, we'll do part four of our Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey tribute with Perry Huntoon. That one's live. And I think we'll be on live with with Walden on Monday with Bill Bragg's live show as well. And I think that's all. I think sometime this month, early this month, we'll get together and plan what we want to do with regard to our next marathon. And so hosts will be getting an email from me here relatively soon. We've announced it everywhere else, so we'll announce it again. There's nobody probably close to the Southern California area, so it probably doesn't matter. But the Spurback meeting that was scheduled for January 10 has been canceled due to libraries coming to us at like literally the last minute, maybe 2-3 days ago, saying, sorry, we're going to have to cancel your presentation at Spurback because we have Obamacare meetings to get to. Anyway, so a lot of the libraries are doing that, and so we will not have a meeting in January, but we'll start looking for February. So that's what's happening with regard to Spurback in January. No meeting in January. That's it for me. Now time to go back to John Beaulieu and the calendar.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Larry, and take care of that throat of yours. Before I get to the calendar, I would like to say thank you to both Larry and John for really doing double duty on New Year's Eve. They were in here hosting as well as hosting with Walden on Yesterday USA at the same time. So they were quite busy that night. I didn't really want to take over the hosting of it because, number one, after midnight my time, well, my coach turns to a pumpkin, so. And I understand that you guys did make it past the midnight West Coast and then some. So, but anyway, we were here from 4 o'clock West Coast time until, I'm not even sure when people finally pulled the plug. But Larry and John told me that they left after 1 o'clock West Coast time, so. It was a successful night, and I want to thank Larry and John for taking that and running with it. And we had a lot of good programming and a lot of friendly chat. It was a very nice evening. First of all, on our calendar, by the way, the season has already started in Accessible World. Last Saturday, we had Sports Talk, and there were four people there, so that was a good run. On Saturday night, we had Michael Sadie Surprise. Monday, we had Tech Talk. Tuesday, we had the History Room. And last night, they had Radio Waves. So the season started way before we got together here tonight. As I said earlier, our presenter tonight is going to be Joy Jackson. Also tonight, in the Book Nook Room, they're going to be discussing the book, Rivers of Times. That's the science fiction group. Rivers of Time, and that's by L. Sprague D. Kamp. And that's at 9 o'clock, so if you're supposed to be there, if you've read the book, then make sure you're there. That's 9 o'clock East Coast, 6 out West. Plus Sports Talk Saturday at noon on the East Coast, 9 o'clock out West. Come on in. Let's talk some sports. The NFL playoffs are on. The college football title game is coming up this week, and lots of baseball we can talk about, and who knows what else, but come on in and join us Saturday night in Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. I understand that Joy Jackson will be the presenter, and she's going to have some lighthearted ART presentations, one based on a movie and the other from a lost old-time radio sitcom. So join Michael and the gang right here in the Fred Burleson Old-Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. That's 9 o'clock on the East Coast, 6 o'clock out West. And come early and chat, or stay late and chat, or do both, because they're a chatty bunch. Sunday, January 11th, it's Banquet of Books. That's at 5 o'clock on the East Coast, 2 o'clock out West, with Joni Leonard as the hostess. That's in the Book Nook Room, and it doesn't matter what kind of a book it was that you were reading. It could be fiction, nonfiction, could be science fiction, could be who knows what. But you're welcome to go in there and talk about it and tell people why you think they should or shouldn't read it. So join Joni Sunday in the Book Nook Room at 5 o'clock East Coast, 2 o'clock out West, and talk about your latest reading. Monday in the Tech Talk Training Room, in the Pat Price Tech Talk Training Room, that is at 8 o'clock East Coast, 5 o'clock out West, our presenter is Michael Fair. And I guess he's big games for computers and phones, and he'll talk about the book he is writing as well. I guess he's a big gamer, so if you like to play games on your computer with your friends or by yourself, it will be worth listening to Michael Fair in Tech Talk on Monday night, 8 o'clock East Coast, 5 o'clock out West, in the Pat Price Tech Talk Training Room. Tuesday, January 13th, Fiction Old and New is welcoming author Allison Richman. They'll be in the Book Nook Room at 9 o'clock East Coast, 6 o'clock out West. I imagine they'll be talking about Allison's book. So join the Fiction Old and New group in the Book Nook Room on Tuesday the 13th. Wednesday the 14th, you and your guide dog, hosted by Bob and Ruth Ann Acosta, and I guess they're featuring Audrey Gunter, founder of the Top Dog Conference. That's at 8 o'clock on the East Coast and 5 o'clock out West in the Guide Dog Users Room. Try to say that five times fast. So join Bob and Ruth Ann and their guest Wednesday night in the Guide Dog Users Room. And that's our calendar, and we'll get back to you folks and have some friendly chat, and maybe even, if we have time, an Ask Dr. Science. So anyway, I'm going to release this to all of you, and again, I want to say thank you, John and Larry, for a fine New Year's evening, and to all the rest of you that presented, we certainly appreciated it. Of Old Time Radio, right here in the Fred Burleson Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. It's good to see you all here. And if we have nothing else to say, I'll get set here and I'll give you an Ask Dr. Science.
It's time once again to Ask Dr. Science. So let's ask Dr. Science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
Amy Berger from Madison, Wisconsin writes, Dear Dr. Science, who invented the bra?
The bra, or brassiere, was invented by the French composer Eric Satie. Satie originally designed the garment as a headdress for himself to wear during the performance of La Nuit de Parmesan, an opera he co-wrote with Claude Debussy. Picasso designed the set and costumes, and Nijinsky choreographed it. A bad case of opening night jitters caused Satie to leave his hat in the ladies' dressing room, and a cold Lido girl pressed it into service on her chest during one of her long waits backstage. The rest is fashion history. The opera was a critical disaster, and Satie died penniless and insane a few years later. But women owe a debt of gratitude the world over for the uplifting inspiration of Eric Satie, composer and inventor.
Thank you, Dr. Science. Send your science questions to Ask Dr. Science. Remember, he's not a real doctor.
I have a master's degree
in science.
Well, they were saying 2 to 4. Now it's down to 1 to 3. So I'm hoping that it'll be more like 1.
All right, Bob, I guess you're still having a problem because I don't see you. And I'm sure that people are anxious to hear the presentation. I know I am. And some of us go to bed earlier than others because of the time zone difference and all. So, without any further ado, let's go to Seattle, Washington.
Let me ask my desktop.
And Joy Jackson.
Hi, guys. Daniel, thank you for your concern. I know that you guys still haven't resolved the problem, so I'm sure the three of you will be talking some more. And I got to the friends just fine, and he got me on time and the whole bit, so no worries on our side.
Welcome to the Radio Out of the Past edition of Treasures Old and New from ART. I'm Joy Jackson. Christmas was just a moment ago, and I wanted to share the show that my friends in Kentucky performed for ART in Seattle in December. It's a recreation from the Radio City Playhouse. We call it Goats Gone Wild.
The Lexington chapter of American Radio Theater presents a special Christmas recreation, adapted from a Radio City Playhouse script by Harry W. Junkin, based on a short story by Paul Gallico. Please join us now as we bring you 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, or Goats Gone Wild. It is 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, December the 24th, in the city room of the Daily Blade. Almost everybody has gone home. A couple of office boys are yawning on the call bench. Three rewrite men are pecking away at their typewriters and watching the clock. At the head of the room, Tex Court, the city editor, is talking earnestly into the telephone with a hunted look on his face. Nearer the door, Perry Brown, the Daily Blade's best reporter, is chatting with Al Vogel, his photographer. They're both about to leave for Rusty's party when Perry's telephone rings.
City desk, Perry Brown. Oh, hello, Rusty. Yeah, we're just leaving. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm all cleaned up. Has the tree come? Oh, good. No, Vogel's sitting on my desk. We'll leave together. Oh, honey, I'm going to trim that tree with diamonds, rubies, and sapphires.
That'll run into some dough.
Al says that'll run into dough. Huh? Oh, darling, if you play Holy Night, I'll cry. Yes, I will. I get very sentimental about Christmas. Vogel will cry, too, won't you, Al?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, we'll all cry, and it'll be a wonderful party. Oh, now, darling, don't worry about the Christmas tree fires. They won't break out until 9 o'clock, and besides, I'd quit before I'd miss the party. Okay, anything you want me to bring? Just me? Okay. Love you.
Hey, why don't you marry the girl and put her out of her misery?
Well, I'm working on it. By this time next year. Come on, Al. Let's get out of here.
Right behind you.
Let's go say Merry Christmas to Tex.
Good idea.
Rusty's as excited about this Christmas party as a 5-year-old kid. It's our first real planned party.
No kidding. Yes, Mrs. Pettensaw, I understand, and I'm sure we can take care of it. By 11 o'clock at number 3 Courtney Tower, harnessed to a wagon. Yes, ma'am.
Mrs. Pettensaw.
It's all right, Mrs. Pettensaw. I'll keep in touch with you. Same to you. Bye.
Al and I are just leaving, Tex. Merry Christmas, and try to get up to Rusty's party if you can, will you? What's the matter?
Perry, I meant to let you and Al go, but something unforeseen has come up.
Oh, no. You promised us the night off.
You did, Tex.
Yes, I know, and you'll get to Rusty's party later. Did you hear anything of that telephone conversation I just had?
You mean Mrs. Pettensaw?
Her nephews have arrived unexpectedly from the West. She wants a Christmas present for them.
Oh, no.
She wishes us to secure a pair of goats for her.
Goats?
Harnessed to a red wagon.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Goats?
Harnessed to a red wagon.
Is she crazy? Where can you find a couple of goats in a red wagon on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, where can you find a couple of goats?
You mean, where can you find them?
Oh, no, Tex, no.
It'll be all right if the outfit arrives at 3 Courtney Towers by 11 o'clock tonight.
I won't do it. I promised Rusty.
And I promised the wife of our editor and managing director that I'd get her 2 goats.
All right. We quit, don't we, Al?
Absolutely. We quit.
I told Rusty nothing would keep us away from her first party.
Listen, Perry, Al, I'm sorry, but I'm on the spot. Do you think I get a kick out of having my reporters used as footmen? Mrs. Pattinsall's a bad little girl.
Bad little girl?
She's a gadfly sent to try us. I'm sorry, but it's all part of the screwy business, and she is the wife of our managing director. Now, please, Perry, there's nobody else to send, please.
I can't. Rusty will give me the air.
She'll understand. She's a newspaper woman.
Oh, no, not tonight she isn't. Tonight she's a kid having her first Christmas party.
You'll just be a little late. Here, I'll give you a petty cash slip. Go upstairs and cash it before 5.
How much?
The sky's the limit.
All right. $1,000.
I said the sky, not the stratosphere.
You want your stinking goats, don't you? How do I know what I'll run up against? I may have to buy them from the zoo.
Okay. Here, if you need any help, call me.
Oh, thank you. And you call Rusty. I haven't got the nerve. She'll think I'm drunk.
All right.
Call her up and say you sent me out to get 2 goats and a red wagon. Oh, boy, she'll love you. Come on, Al.
Maybe we can get the goats quick somehow and...
Hey, where are you going first, Perry?
Well, where would you go to get goats? Brooklyn.
Gee, Perry, it's nice traveling over Brooklyn Bridge at night, ain't it?
Yeah. Holy night, silent night, where can I find to go?
Ah, the old bridge looks pretty tonight with the lights on it and everything.
Yeah, where can I find to go?
Hey, just look at the lights on the water, Perry, in the piers. Look, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, Perry, look. See that flash of flame down there? Look, will ya?
Yeah, yeah.
The pier's on fire. Look, will ya?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lovely fire. Maybe it'll burn all night. Too bad we can't go.
What do you mean we can't go? Are you nuts?
My dear Al, consider your position. We're in the service of the rich. We're after goats. We're not reporters. We're lackeys. Mrs. Pettensaw would be very, very angry if we went to a fire instead of buying her two goats harnessed to a red wagon.
Perry, we gotta. Look, it's spreading. Look at the orange and the yellow, like an atomic. Will you look?
Al, hush.
Maybe I can grab a shot. Slow down, Perry. Maybe I can get a picture from here.
No. Al, we must let nothing turn us from our duty. We're not reporters. We're butlers.
Well, I got it anyway, and maybe this will be the best picture of the year.
The first little goat will be silky and white, and I hope that it gives Mrs. Pettensaw a bite.
Perry, will you stop singing? I knew we shouldn't have gone in any bars looking for goats.
And where else would you look for a goat?
Hey, Perry, look at that taxi. Look, an ambulance. There's been an accident. Look. Perry, slow down, please, will you? Hey, that woman. She's hurt. Perry, please slow down. Let me get a picture, will you?
No. What would Mrs. Pettensaw say if she ever found out you went around shooting a camera at people?
I got it.
Stop taking pictures.
Do you know what? You're lost. That's what. We're lost in Brooklyn. We're lost in Brooklyn. And we'll be here for years and years and years.
We're not lost. If you'd stop taking pictures, you'd see we are now approaching Cyprus and 283rd. And if our friend the bartender is correct, we're about to get our first goat.
Didn't he have any number?
No, brown shack at the corner of Cyprus and 283rd. That must be it over there beside those signboards.
Hey, what is it, a garbage dump? Or is that the goats I smell?
All right now, Rudolph. Please be a good goat, will you? Come on.
What's he stopping for?
Oh, I don't know. Please, Rudolph, we're almost at the car. Now, in a little while, you'll meet Mrs. Pettensaw.
You'll like her.
You can't pull them if they don't want to go.
Now, look, Rudolph, I paid $100 for you. Will you please act like $100 goat?
Hey, there's something there on the ground.
Huh?
Hey, Perry, look, Perry. It's a body.
What?
Yeah. In a sack, suffering jets. There's a note on it.
Give me your flashlight.
Hey, Merry Christmas from the boys.
Whoa, I think I know him. Flashlight in his face.
Yeah.
Holy cow, Perry, it's Pro Gallo from the DA's office.
Yeah. He had his nose in the numbers racket, didn't he? Merry Christmas from the boys. What a story.
And how?
Well, too bad. We're busy.
We're busy. Perry, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding. Business before pleasure. We're still one goat shy. Pro girl just have to...
Yeah, at least let me get a couple of pictures.
Okay, but make it snappy. Oh, all right, Rudolph, I'll give you one more chance. Are you or are you not going to get into the car without being kicked? Rudolph, stay in the back seat, will you? And stop kissing me. I'm driving.
Yeah, and you should have stuck to lemonade.
You should talk. While I think of it, who did you phone in that last tavern?
And the office. Tex.
What'd you tell him?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, He said Rusty had phoned and said you needn't bother coming to the party no matter how early you got through. And I just sort of casually mentioned the fire and the Progower murder.
Well, that'll teach him to send us out after goats.
Where'd that bartender say we should go?
An old guy by the name of Constantine Bartakamus.
Huh?
Just a couple blocks more.
Now what's the matter with Rudolph?
I believe he is slightly loaded. He downed a whole can of beer the barkeep gave him.
Yeah, more likely it's the can. He downed that too.
Mr. Bartakamus?
Yes?
My friend here and I, as curious as it may seem, are seeking to purchase a goat.
Yeah, a goat.
Yeah, a goat. Jerry, the bartender at Mike's Tavern, said you had goats.
You make the Christmas Eve joke, eh?
No.
Come on, we got company. You drink a glass of wine. Everything should be all right. Christmas time, everybody should feel okay.
Look, anytime but Christmas Eve, it might be a gag. It's dead on the level, brother. I've got to get another goat. Now, have you got one?
And we ain't kidding.
Is it no funny business?
Honest.
All right, you come with me.
You have got goats, haven't you?
Sure, I got goats. Paolo and Francesca. They man and wife. Nice goats. Good goats. You like goats, eh?
Oh yeah, sure. We love goats, don't we, Al?
Oh, yeah. Especially on Christmas Eve. We love goats.
Yeah.
He's in here, the shed. There. Paolo and Francesca.
Goats!
Hold it. You ain't got them yet.
Mr. Bartakamus.
See?
How much for the big one?
Vergogna. I tell you the name is Paolo and Francesco. This is a husband and a wife. I no sell a one. You married man. I think you understand, eh?
Yeah, forgive me, old man, you're right. I don't know what I was thinking about.
Yeah. They look so great. They're in love.
Oh, yeah, sure. Look, Mr. Bartakamus, I got a goat outside. The swellest goat you ever saw. Rudolph.
Yeah?
Rudolph. He loves everybody.
Crazy about everybody.
What about a deal? I buy Paolo and Francesca, and you take Rudolph in a part swap, huh? You have one swell loving goat and some cash. Everybody, she's a happy, huh?
I don't want one goat.
No?
No.
What's the matter with having one goat?
What good is one goat except to another goat?
Except. Yeah. Look, Mr. Bartakamus, it's a deal. How much?
I'm not sure how much I want to sell now.
$300?
Avicii. She's good. Paolo and Francesca, they're yours. You come in the house and we have some wine. It's a party. We sing songs. We do the happy dance.
Stayed at Bartakamus's party so long. I just knew it. Perry's, please stop.
All right.
If I don't eat soon, I'm gonna die. Please. We got the goats. We got three goats, in fact. Let's eat and get them up to the petting saws, huh? Would you shut up, Rudolph? You too, Francesca, will you pipe down? Holy smokes, we're up to our neck in goats. What are we gonna do with three goats, Perry?
What are we going to do?
We don't eat food, Perry. I'm going to be sick. You know something, Perry? I wouldn't have blamed that waiter if he'd socked you. Russian caviar in a dump like this, yet.
No, Al, I'm sleeping. Do not disturb me. Allow me to sit here with my head in my hands and suffer. Stop nudging me, Al. Will you stop nudging me?
Good evening, all. Mind if I join the party?
Rusty.
Hello, Perry. Don't suppose you'd mind if I sat down?
You're sore.
Not at all. It's been a perfect Christmas Eve.
How'd you find us?
You left a trail a blind man could follow. When I saw your car parked outside with three goats in the back seat, I sort of figured you might be in here.
Don't be sore, Rusty.
Sore? Why should I be sore?
What are you doing away from the party?
There is no party. Could I have some coffee, too, please?
Coming up.
What do you mean?
I'm working. Everybody's working. There's never been a Christmas like it before. Progauer was murdered. Progauer of the DA's office.
Oh, for goodness sake. Well, fancy that.
It also happens that Pier 547 in Brooklyn blew up.
No, really.
Perry, why do you drink?
Because they sent me out on Christmas Eve to buy two goats and a red wagon.
Uh-huh. Have you got the wagon?
The wagon. The wagon!
Oh, no, I haven't got the wagon.
Well, I have. That's one reason I'm here. Tex thought you'd forget it.
Where is it?
Outside in my car.
Oh, Rusty, you're wonderful.
Am I?
We got one goat too many, Rusty.
You noticed that too, did you? Isn't Mrs. Pettensaw going to be surprised?
What's the matter with them now?
They're frightened.
Now listen, goats. You're out of the elevator. All you gotta do is walk down this nice, quiet hall here, see? That's it. Now just walk slowly down the hall to apartment 3. And stop kissing me. Look, Rusty. Rudolph loves me.
It's 10:45. The Pettensaws will be home in 15 minutes.
All right. Vogel, you take Paolo. Rusty, you grab Francesca, and you, Rudolph.
Whoever answers this door is in for an awful shock.
You ain't kidding.
Rudolph, see Al? He loves me. Merry Christmas, Rudolph, to the sweetest little goat in the whole wide world.
Good evening. Good heavens.
Are you the Pettensaws' butler?
I am, sir. And might I ask what you are?
Move over. We got goats.
Goats? What in heaven's name for?
To pull the wagon.
Yeah, to pull the wagon.
Wagon? Sir, I must insist...
You did say you worked for the Pettensaws?
Yes.
You met Mrs. Pettensaw?
Well, of course I have.
Then you already know you don't want to be the guy who stood in the way of this special delivery.
And he ain't kidding.
You got a bathroom with a sunken tub?
This way, gentlemen, if you'll just follow me.
Well, hold still, Rudolph. There. I guess you're clean.
Aw, they both look like fluffy little lambs.
Yeah, but Rudolph here doesn't deserve a bath after smashing the Pettensaw's mirror.
He couldn't help it. It was the first time he'd ever seen himself in that mean expression on his face.
All right. Hold still, Rudolph. You'll be dry in a minute. That's a boy. Give me another towel, Rusty.
You've used 5 already.
Well, you can't deliver dirty goats to Mrs. Pettensaw. Say, he's real cute when he's clean, isn't he?
What's Vogel doing?
Oh, making a harness out of neckties. There we are.
Well, let's get him harnessed to the wagon and get out of here before the Pettensaws arrive.
Come on, Rudolph. You look swell. Well, come on, Rusty. Open the door. Hey, this is sure some dump. How's the harness coming out?
I used Mr. Pettensaw's neckties. Look at this. Swell, ain't it?
Al, it's the nicest harness I've ever seen.
Yeah. Hey, did you ever see a tree like that in your whole life?
Never. and I never will. I'll never, ever have a Christmas like other people. Never.
Oh, let's get them harnessed.
There. Finished. Red wagon and all.
Yeah.
Don't they look cute?
Paolo and Francesca, man and wife. Makes me want to cry. What are they doing to the tree?
Looks to me as if they're eating it, a little at a time.
Rudolph. Darn you anyway, Rudolph.
Oh, Harry, look out. He'll run the other way.
Oh, suffering jets.
Okay, hold it, hold it. Here come the pencils.
What's going on in here? Oh, my vase. Oh, both of them. What is the meaning of this? Who are you? Alan, are these people from the paper?
I believe they are, my dear.
Get out of here, all of you. Hooligans, you're drunk.
I beg your pardon. We are not drunk.
Of course you're drunk. Otherwise, what's the meaning of a third animal?
It's a spare.
A spare? Is that supposed to be funny? Will you please leave? Alan, I expect you to deal with these people tomorrow.
Oh, Rusty, I believe Mrs. Pettensall is sore.
Is she? Well, so am I. Mrs. Pettensall, you're all through with Perry Brown now, aren't you?
I don't believe I know you.
Yes, you are. You're through with him. He's drunk, and he's dirty, and besides, he served your purpose. He got you what you wanted. 2 goats and a red wagon on Christmas Eve. No other man in town could have done it tonight, or would have.
Get out of here.
You've been using our office and our staff to do your dirty work for the last 5 years.
Well,
run errands, fetch and carry, fix things for you, play nursemaid to you. Well, that's out as far as we're concerned. And when you replace us, I suggest you go to an employment agency that furnishes trained servants. It'll be nice to know you can call up the office when you need an extra butler. Come on, boys. Come on, Rudolph. Let's get out of here. I can smell something that has nothing to do with goats.
Well, I never.
Now, my dear. Good night, Miss McGowan, Mr. Brown, Mr. Vogel. Good night.
Come on, let's get out of here. We got rid of Al.
Yeah.
Now, if we could only get rid of Rudolph.
I called up the zoo.
Well?
They didn't want a goat.
Oh.
Called up the Metropolitan Museum of Art, too.
What on earth for?
Oh, I don't know. I thought maybe because it was Christmas Eve, they might make an exception.
What'll we do with him?
Honey, I don't know. But I'm not going to abandon Rudolph on some cold, vacant lot. He's got a right to Christmas, too.
Well, where will we take him?
Oh, I don't know. I guess we'll just wander around Brooklyn with him until we die of old age. Now, don't kiss me when I'm driving, Rudolph. He loves me, Rusty.
I know. I do, too.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. For heaven's sakes, let's get some coffee. I'm perishing with the cold, Perry. Look, there's a place. Come on, stop, Perry.
All right. Do you think you love me as much as Rudolph loves me?
I think I do.
Okay, then I'll buy you some coffee. All right, now, get Rudolph out on your side.
Can't he stay in the car?
Rudolph's got a right to his Christmas, too. Attaboy. Go on, Rudolph. Go with Rusty. That's a fella.
Come on, Rudolph. Good old Rudolph.
Rusty, honey, I just couldn't leave Rudolph without a home on Christmas Eve. It wouldn't be human.
I know. Do you suppose we'll have to keep him forever?
I don't know. Well, here we are. All right now, Rudolph, sit down. Sit down beside us and shut up.
Hey, mister, you can't bring that goat in here.
Oh, yes, we can. It's Christmas Eve.
I don't care. We have a strict policy. No goats.
But Rudy's a special case. He's a seeing eye goat.
Mister, I saw you get out of the driver's side of that car out there.
Just goes to show you what a wonderful goat he really is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. Whatever you say. After all, it is Christmas Eve.
Thanks.
So what'll you have?
Coffee and donuts for two and some wheat biscuits for Rudolph.
Is that what goats eat?
Yeah, just one of the things. Just leave him in the box. He'll eat the box and all. He'll go wild when he hits the biscuits after all that cardboard.
Well, I've seen everything now. Donuts and coffee coming up.
You unhappy, kid?
Harry, I'm an awful fake. I've loved every minute of it.
No fooling?
I was mad because you didn't take me with you.
Well, it's a lousy racket, but we love it. And I guess we're out of it now, though. We haven't got a job, Rusty.
Oh, I think we have. Remember when Mr. Pettensall said goodnight?
Yeah.
He winked at me.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. I think he's been waiting to tell her off for years.
Oh, I'll bet.
Perry, can't you remember anything that happened tonight?
Well, some of it.
Do you know there's a bonus waiting for you at the office?
A bonus? What for?
For your work on the Pier 547 explosion.
What?
Vogel took a picture of it.
Yeah?
Yeah. He also took a picture of the death of some Brooklyn alderman's wife in a taxi accident, and a half dozen of Progauer's body.
What are you talking about?
Vogel phoned the office around 6 and said if we would go to an address he gave us and look behind some signboards, there'd be something there for us.
Uh-huh.
There was. On top of Progauer's body were two rolls of film and a note from Vogel with the captions on them. They're all over page 1 now.
I'll be. Good old Vogel. I tried to make an honest flunky out of him, but I guess he's just a newspaperman at heart.
So you see, everything's all right.
Yeah, well, I guess it is.
Now, if we could only just get rid of Rudolph.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, mister, give me 2 coffees and 2 donuts to go.
Right.
Rusty, look.
What?
That kid. Hey, Sonny, come here, will you?
Hello, lady.
Hi, Sonny.
Hello, mister.
Hi.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Say, how would you like a goat for Christmas?
Her?
Him.
Honest?
Honest.
You mean just take him?
Right now. You want him?
Gee, do I? Gosh.
Call him Rudolph.
Gee, thanks, mister. Thanks a lot. Come on, Rudolph. Come on, boy.
Well, we've done it, Rusty. We've done it. Rudolph has a home. Darling, Merry Christmas.
Perry.
Hey, cut out that kissing stuff. I run a respectable joint.
Just heard 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, or Goats Gone Wild, starring John Greenway as Perry Brown and David Maddox as Al Vogel. Other members of the cast included Tom Fitzpatrick as Tex Court, Bob Hutchison as Mr. Bartokamus, Jan Hanley as Rusty, Stuart Talbert was the butler, Pam Hungate as Mrs. Pettensall, Lee Delaney as Mr. Pettensall, Susie Hutchison as the waitress, Lurlin Lahr as the little boy. And as our goats, Lee Delaney as Rudolph, Lurlin Lahr as Francesca, and Alan Wayne as Paolo. Special thanks to Carrie Tufts. Sound effects were provided by Lee Delaney. The production was directed by Mike Wheeler. I'm your announcer, Aaron Hiles, on behalf of the Lexington chapter of American Radio Theater, wishing you the very best this holiday season.
What did we broadcast to Kentucky? Well, Dave Parker was much in our thoughts, so we recreated a Lone Ranger that he had been in. Here's the telltale bullet.
The Lone Ranger is a fictional masked former Texas Ranger who fought outlaws in the American Old West with his Native American friend Tonto. The character has been called an enduring icon of American culture. He first appeared in 1933 in a radio show conceived either by WXYZ Detroit radio station owner George W. Trendle or by Fran Stryker, the show's writer. The character was originally believed to be inspired by Texas Ranger Captain John R. Hughes, to whom the book The Lone Star Ranger by Zane Grey was dedicated in 1915.
In addition, Fran Stryker and George W. Trendle drew up the following guidelines that embody who and what the Lone Ranger is. The Lone Ranger was never seen without his mask or disguise. He was never captured or held for any length of time by lawmen, avoiding his being unmasked. He always used perfect grammar and precise speech, devoid of slang. When he was forced to use guns, he never shot to kill, but to disarm his opponent as painlessly as possible. He never wins against hopeless odds. In other words, he was never seen escaping from a barrage of bullets merely by riding into the horizon. He never referred to himself as the Lone Ranger, but would confirm people's suspicion, either verbally or with one of his silver bullets, if they figured it out for themselves. The only exception was in the first episode, in which he called himself the Lone Ranger. Even though the Lone Ranger offered his aid to individuals or small groups, the ultimate objective of his story always implied that their benefit was only a byproduct of the development of the West or our country. His adversaries were usually groups whose power is such that large areas are at stake. Adversaries were never other than American to avoid criticism from minority groups. There were exceptions to this rule. He sometimes battled foreign agents, though their nation of origin was generally not named. An exception was helping the Mexican Benito Juarez against French troops at Emperor Maximilian, as occurred in the radio episodes Supplies for Juarez on 18th of September 1939, Hunted by Legionnaires on the 20th of September 1939, and Lafitte's Reinforcements on the 22nd of September in 1939. Names of unsympathetic characters were carefully chosen, never consisting of two names if it could be avoided. More often than not, a single name was selected. The Lone Ranger never drank or smoked, and saloon scenes were usually shown as cafes, with waiters and food instead of bartenders and liquor. Criminals were never shown in enviable positions of wealth or power, and they were never successful or glamorous. He decided to use only silver bullets to remind himself that life is precious and not to be thrown away.
Cheerios, the nourishing breakfast cereal made from oats and ready to eat, presents The Lone Ranger. A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust and a hearty hi-yo silver, the Lone Ranger. With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver, let's go, big fella. Hi-yo, Silver, away!
Through the efforts of the Lone Ranger and Tonto, two outlaws named Cash Hanna and Dirk Nasby went to prison. When they were released, the masked man was certain they would resume their careers of crime, so he and Tonto picked up their trail. After following the tracks of the outlaws' horses for several days, the Lone Ranger and Tonto were riding west along the floor of a valley on the trail leading to Bartonville, Kansas. Suddenly, the masked man signaled a halt.
Oh, oh. Oh.
They stopped here, Tonto. Let's dismount and study the tracks.
Plenty hoof mark here.
Yes, and they're fresh. We're not far behind those crooks.
Kimosabe, three horse come here from opposite direction.
You're right, Tonto.
And from here, 5 horsemen headed south toward that hill.
Cash and Dirk meet 3 others.
The town of Bartonville is just beyond that hill.
You wonder why them go there. Maybe.
Tonto!
What you find on ground, Kimosabe?
A small piece of black cloth. And here's another.
Me see other pieces. 2, 3.
Tonto, I think those pieces were cut from cloth to make eye holes.
That mean crooks make masks.
And rode toward Bartonville prepared for a holdup. Come on, Tonto.
Can we go after them?
Yes. Come on, Silver.
Get him up, Scout.
After reaching the top of the hill, the Lone Ranger and Tonto rode down the other side through a stand of timber. Coming out of the woods, they saw the rear of a row of buildings on the Bartonville main street some distance away. 5 horses stood at ground hitch behind the bank.
Those may be the outlaw's horses, Tonto.
At that instant, 5 men came from the bank's back door and ran to the horses. All of the men wore black cloth over their faces, and one carried a bulging sack.
The outlaws! A bank robbery! Come on, Silver!
Let me see us!
Return the fire!
They're shooting! Look! Kimosabe, you hit one in arm!
Right, Tonto, we're gaining on him! Tonto!
Me hit!
Steady, Tonto! I'll hold you in the saddle!
Crooks, escape!
We'll deal with them later! Let me look at that wound!
Me not lose consciousness!
I'm sure your wound is only skin deep. Can you ride as far as the woods?
Me ride.
Good. We'll get away from here, then dress your wound. Come on!
A short time later, the Lone Ranger found a place beside a stream where Tonto's scalp wound could be given the necessary attention. First, he cleansed the wound, applied a healing salve, then bandaged it.
There, Tonto, feel better?
He's all right now. But you use all of bandage.
We'll get more bandages and other medical supplies at the first opportunity. You feel able to ride?
Me all right.
Then let's head for town and the nearest doctor's office.
It was night when the masked man and Tonto drew rein in front of a 2-story house on a corner. A lamp-lit sign beside the door said Dr. Doyle, and a white placard in a first-store window bore the words, Dr. In.
Wait here, Tonto.
Dismounting, the Lone Ranger peered through the window and saw that the doctor's office was occupied by an elderly woman and a gray-haired man seated at a desk. He went inside.
Dr. Doyle?
Yes, I'm the doctor. This is my wife, Mary. She's also my nurse.
Nice to meet you, Mrs. Doyle.
Can't say the pleasure's mutual, mister. If you're here for medical help, we need to know why you're wearing that mask. The doctor and I like to know who we're treating.
His mask doesn't worry me, Mary. All I'm interested in is people's ailments. So what ails you, mister?
Nothing ails me, doctor. But I'd like to buy some bandages, gauze, and antiseptic.
We sell a complete medical kit for $3. You got the money, you can have the kit.
I'll go get the kit for you, mister. I think we still have one out back here somewhere.
Still don't like the idea of that mask, mister. But if the doctor ain't worried, I won't be either. Seems like more and more folks out here have something to hide.
I have nothing to hide, Mrs. Doyle. If I had more time, I'd explain my mask. But right now, I need that medical kit to help my friend.
Well, guess it's all right then. Folks helping their friends can't be all bad.
As Mrs. Doyle talked, the masked man glanced at the doctor's desk and saw a magnifying glass and a small object which the physician had evidently been examining. It was a silver bullet.
Why, here you are, mister. You'll find this kit quite complete.
Good. Here's the money. Doctor, isn't that a silver bullet on your desk?
I thought it was silver.
That's right, mister. Sure looked like silver to us.
Did you take it from a man's right arm?
Why? Why do you ask?
I think it came from the arm of a man who took part in a bank robbery in Bartonville today.
What makes you say that?
Yes, mister. What makes you think a thing like that?
I'm sure it's one I fired at the escaping bandits.
You? You fired the silver bullet?
Yes. People call me the Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger? Oh, of course. Oh, that explains the mask, doll.
Yes, it sure does. Fancy having you here, masked man.
Tonto and I are on the trail of bank robbers, and I think we're getting close. Doctor, will you tell me where to find the man from whom you removed the bullet?
I can't. I shouldn't. It would be unethical.
He's right about that, mister. It would be unethical.
Unethical. Very well, Doctor. I'll leave you and Mrs. Doyle with your consciences. But I'll return if you want me to.
You will?
Yes. I'll look for a signal in your window tomorrow night.
A signal? What kind of signal?
Wait, I have it. That placard in the window.
Doctor in.
Yes, if it's upside down in the window, it means we're here alone and we want to talk to you.
All right, Doctor. If your sign is upside down, I'll be here. Now, good night to you both. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I certainly plan to find out.
After the Lone Ranger left, the doctor and his wife sat down at his desk, and a moment later their adopted son, a pale young man with feverish eyes, came down the stairway and into the office. He carried his right arm in a sling, and in his left hand he held a gun.
David, we thought you'd gone to bed.
Yes, I thought I heard your room door close.
No, I've been listening at the head of the stairs.
What are you doing with that pistol?
With that outlaw here, I thought it might be needed.
If you were listening, then you know he's not an outlaw. He's the Lone Ranger.
That's who he says he is, but I know better.
Better? What are you talking about, son?
I recognized him. He's the bank robber who shot me.
He is?
Yes, I told you what happened. I was standing outside the Bartonville Bank when these crooks ran out shooting. One of their bullets hit my arm, and I'm sure it was fired by the masked man who left here.
Well, David, we'd like to believe you.
You would believe me if I were your own son instead of an adopted one.
Now, don't say that, David. You know very well that we've been more than fair with you. We've indulged your whims, and we've been patient with your vices.
Vices? You mean gambling? I promised to quit gambling, and I've kept my promise.
I wonder.
Please, Dad, Mom, please don't tell that masked crook about me. His gang would kill us. Besides, you've got to consider your ethics.
Maybe we ought to give him another chance, Joel. I just don't know.
Oh, very well, David. We'll keep your secret. We'll let them worry about the bank robbery. I hope we're doing the right thing. Now, you go to bed and rest your arm.
The curtain falls on the first act of tonight's exciting adventure. The Lone Ranger will be right back after this important message from Cheerios, the nourishing breakfast cereal made from oats and ready to eat.
Has this scene ever happened at your Saturday morning breakfast table?
Oh, Mom, that's not fair. You said I could go out and play right after breakfast.
I said you could go out and play after you finished your breakfast, Jimmy. And so far, you haven't touched your cereal.
But I don't like that gritty stuff you bought. It's hard to chew and it hurts my mouth.
Well, I can't go around buying every cereal on the grocery shelf, Jimmy. Money doesn't grow on trees in this family. I thought you'd know that by now.
If you've ever had a problem like that at your house, Mom, just listen to this. Cheerios, the nourishing cereal made from oats, is ready to eat by everyone in your family, especially by active young boys like Jimmy. You see, Cheerios are toasted, whole grain oats, deliciously blended into those fun-to-eat little letter O's. And best of all, they're not only good, but they're so good for you. That's because nutrition experts know that whole grain oats supply lots of vitamins. So, you don't have to worry about costly supplements anymore. Cheerios does it all. As Jimmy's mom found out.
Wow, Mom, Cheerios are really neat. They're fun to eat and they taste so good. Can I have another bowl, please?
Aren't you afraid you'll be too late to play, Jimmy?
Mom, with a breakfast cereal like Cheerios, just plain eating's play enough for me. So how about that extra bowl?
Oh, Jimmy.
Problem noted. Problem solved. So, join thousands of other moms like Jimmy's and you, too, can be a breakfast heroine every morning of the week. Remember, Cheerios, the delicious breakfast cereal made from oats and ready to eat. Try them. You'll love them.
about to continue. After his talk with his mother and father, David Doyle didn't go to bed as he pretended. Instead, he waited until the doctor turned out the lights, then he sneaked outside to his saddled horse and rode off. In his haste, he didn't notice the Lone Ranger and Tonto, who were watching from the trees. About an hour later, he was one of five men seated at a table in a cabin in the nearby hills. With him sat the ex-convicts Cash Hanna and Dirk Nasby, and the Keynes brothers, Blackie and Scar, who operated a gambling place in town. Though savage dogs stood guard outside, the faces of the men showed fear as Dave told of the Lone Ranger's visit to the doctor's home. When Dave got through, Cash Hanna said,
"Boys, we're going to have to get rid of the Lone Ranger, or he'll get us. Right, Dirk?"
"Yeah, that's right, Cash. He and the engine almost caught us in Bartonville. Yeah, the Lone Ranger's got to die. Dave, you should have plugged him when he was in your house."
"I couldn't shoot straight with my left hand."
"Excuse me.
Boys, I got me an idea. I know how we can get the Lone Ranger. Dave, didn't you tell us Doc would upend his window sign if he wanted the Lone Ranger to call tomorrow night?"
"Yes, but Dad promised me he wouldn't do it."
"Yeah, listen. Can you figure a way to send the old Doc and your mom out of town on some kind of fake emergency call or something?"
"I don't know. I guess so. But it'll have to be something serious so Mom would have to go along as his nurse."
"Well, good. Late tomorrow afternoon, you send him on a ranch call that'll keep him away for a few hours. We'll put his card in the window upside down."
"Yeah, that's a good idea, Cash. The Lone Ranger will see the card and go into the house, and we'll be there to shoot him."
"No, no, we can't do that."
"Why not?"
"What about Tonto?"
"If he's dead, we'll shoot him too."
But if the Lone Ranger's killed in the house, I'll get the blame."
"Blame? Blame for what? Who knows? He's the Lone Ranger. Stick to your story that he's one of the bank robbers. Say he come to kill you so you couldn't identify him."
"Yeah, say you had to shoot him in self-defense."
"Say you shot him with your left hand. You'll be a hero around town."
"No,
Now what's the matter?"
I don't like that idea."
"You're yellow."
"I went through my part of the holdup, and I didn't get a cent out of it."
"You got plenty out of it. Scar and I tore up your IOUs at the gambling place."
"That's the only reason I went with you on the bank job. But now you want me to get mixed up in murder. I was a fool to gamble in the first place."
"Yeah, well, it's too late to think that now."
"You heard the plans."
"Yes, but I won't go along
with..." "Why, you lily-livered milksop, take that! Ah! Here's some more!"
"Stop! Stop slapping my face!"
"That's just the beginning, unless you stick with us."
"Why, you murderer!"
"How about it, Doyle? You gonna be with us, or you need some more persuading?"
"No. No, I'll stick. Just don't hit me again."
"Now you're being smart. But don't forget our plan."
"That's right, because we'll be watching for your folks to leave town tomorrow afternoon."
"But if anything goes wrong, you'll get another slug. And this time it won't be silver. And it'll be in your head instead of your arm."
I know."
"Now go on home. We'll see you tomorrow."
Meanwhile, the Lone Ranger and Tonto had followed David to the hideout in the hills. Hearing the dogs when he entered the cabin, they withdrew to a point where they could watch the building from behind some brushwood bordering the moonlight trail. Presently, they saw the cabin door swing open, and a moment later, the man with his arm in a sling was riding toward them.
"Rein in! You're covered!" "Get your good arm up."
"The masked man! Don't shoot me!"
"Sit still in the saddle and keep your voice down."
"I'm not armed. Why did you stop me?"
"We have a lot to talk about, but not here."
"Where are you taking me?"
"Deeper into the hills. Lead his horse, Tonto. I'll ride behind him. Now, let's go."
After about a mile of riding, the Lone Ranger and Tonto halted with their frightened captive in a moonlit, flooded valley.
"What are you going to do with me?"
"That depends on how truthfully you answer questions. What's your name?"
I'm David Doyle."
"The doctor's son?"
"I'm an adopted son. He adopted me when I was a baby."
Did he take a silver bullet out of your arm?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Do you know who I am?
Yes. You're the Lone Ranger. I heard you talking to Dad.
Then you know I'm the man who shot you, and I know you're one of the men who robbed the Bartonville Bank.
Why you rob bank?
I wish to heaven I had never done it. But now I'm in deeper than ever. Those crooks will kill me unless I...
Unless you what?
Unless I help them murder you. What can I do? Is there any way out?
Dave, you better pull yourself together and tell us everything you know.
Dave was glad to unload his burden of guilt. He told about the robbery and the way he lied to his foster father. Then he revealed the outlaw's plan to murder the Lone Ranger. When he finished, he sighed with relief and said...
Now you know everything.
Dave, you've been weak, but you might be able to redeem yourself.
I'll do anything you say.
Would you fight on my side?
Yes, I would.
Then we'll make some plans of our own. Tell me this, is there a hayloft in your stable where Tonto and I might hide?
Yes, and there's a shed nearby for your horses.
Good. We'll go there tonight.
What do you want me to do?
Return home and go to bed. Tomorrow, do just as you agreed. After that, Tonto and I'll handle the situation.
Late the following afternoon, when Dr. Doyle returned from several calls in town and halted his horse and buggy, he saw Dave waiting at the store of the stable.
Hi there, Dave.
Hello, Dad. I got a message from Jeb Pierce. Sounds like they had a bad accident out at his place. Something fell on two or three of his ranch hands and really smashed them up.
Oh, tarnation sounds bad, all right. Jeb wouldn't ask me to go out and wait at his ranch for anything trivial. Expect I might need your mother's help, she being a nurse and all. Go get her, Dave, while I get this buggy turned around.
You'll probably be gone about 3 hours.
Oh, yeah, at least that. Now go get your mother. We've got to move fast.
After his parents had left, Dave went to the stable and went inside. As he closed the door, he called to the Lone Ranger and Tonto, who had been in the loft since the previous night.
They're gone. My folks have gone.
Good. Then we'll meet you in the office, Dave.
Without waiting for the masked man and Indian, Dave hurried through a door that opened from the stable directly into the doctor's office.
Are we alone in the house, Dave?
Yes.
Then let's prepare for the showdown.
At that moment, Cash, Dirk, and the Keynes brothers, watching from the concealment of brushwood beyond the edge of town, saw the doctor and his wife driving past.
There goes the doc and his wife on their wild goose chase.
Yeah, like that sissy doll kid did his job. Now, just as soon as it's dark, we'll go to the house.
And wait for the Lone Ranger.
In the doctor's office, the Lone Ranger observed three doors in a sidewall. He said,
I know that door leads to the stable. What about the others?
This one opens into a small closet, and the stairs to the second floor are behind this one.
Tonto, you wait in the closet. I'll wait on the stairs. Leave the doors open about an inch.
He's heavy.
Dave, you'd better sit at the desk until the crooks arrive. And don't try to double-cross us.
When darkness gathered, Dave lighted a lamp, and a short time later, the front door was opened cautiously. Cash Hanna appeared into the office with a gun in his hand.
The coast cleared, Pennywaste.
Doesn't it look that way?
Seeing no one in the room but Dave, the crooks relaxed and lowered their heavy guns.
The setup looked all right to me.
Yeah, let's put that sign in the window so the Lone Ranger will walk into the trap.
Don't bother. Drop your guns.
He's here.
Me got you covered.
Danger. Dave, you dirty devil cross. I'll kill you.
My arm.
Anyone else want gunplay?
Don't shoot. My hands are up.
And mine, don't shoot us. Hold your fire.
My arm busted.
Now you know how a silver bullet hits.
We'll get you for this double cross, Dave, if it's the last thing we do.
Where you're going, you'll not get anyone. Stand against that wall, all of you. Tonto, pick up their guns.
Me get them.
Meanwhile, Dr. and Mrs. Doyle had returned unexpectedly, and while in the stable, heard the shots. As the outlaws sullenly backed against the wall, the doctor, holding a heavy gun, rushed through the door.
What's going on here?
The amazed doctor halted in front of Cash.
Get out of my line of fire!
Get back, Dad!
I've got him!
Cash sprang forward, wrested the gun from the doctor's grasp, then circled his throat with his left hand.
The doctor's my shield! One move and I'll break his back with a bullet!
Don't shoot the doctor!
Shoot at me and you'll kill the doc!
Good work, Cash.
Now, Lone Ranger, you need to drop your guns!
Don't do it! Don't do it! I'm not afraid to die. My life is less important than the capture of these crooks.
Once I drop those guns!
While the four crooks watched and waited for the masked man to obey Cash's order, Dave drew a hidden gun from his sling and fired. Cash staggered back from the doctor, gasped, and fell to the floor.
That does it.
David, you fired that shot.
Yes, Dad. I lied to you. The masked man is really the Lone Ranger.
Stand back, Doctor. I'll cover these crooks while Tonto ties them. Dave, it's time to bring in the sheriff.
Shall I go get him?
Yes, and while you're gone, I have a few things to tell your father and mother.
When Dave was gone, the ranger explained to the doctor and his wife about their son's role in the bank robbery and the capture of the crooks. Then later, when Dave returned with the sheriff, he told his mom and dad how sorry he was.
Dad, Mom, when I get out of prison, I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to make you proud of me.
That makes us real happy, son.
It sure does, Dave. Seems like you learned an important lesson from the Lone Ranger and Tonto.
Dave, I've seen how the law works, and I've got a feeling that your help in capturing those crooks will go a long way to making your sentence a light one.
Kimosabe, horse is ready.
Tonto's waiting. I'll be expecting big things from you, Dave.
I won't let you down. Nor you, Mom and Dad. I'll make good for you and for the Lone Ranger.
Hi-yo, Silver! Away!
You've been listening to an American Radio Theater recreation of a broadcast of The Lone Ranger, The Telltale Bullet. This episode was originally broadcast on September 30th, 1953. In our cast, you heard Ken Leese as The Lone Ranger, Greg Porter as Tonto, Moki O'Reilly as Cash Hanna, Kim Turner as Dirk Nasby, Dan Schindler as Dr. Doyle, Marge Diskin as Mrs. Doyle, Harry Thiel as Dave Doyle, Karen Leese as Scar, Moki O'Reilly as Blackie. In the commercials, you heard Karen Leese as the mom, Mary Moore Campagna as the kid, and Moki O'Reilly as the announcer. Sound effects provided by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Sound engineering by Joy Jackson. I'm your announcer, Dave Leese. This has been a production of ART, American Radio Theater.
Gee, that's all I've got time for today. Please come back here on Saturday when I have another couple of shows from American Radio Theater in Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. See you then. And that does it from Seattle. I have to say that that performance of Goats Gone Wild was the swan song for one of the actors from Art Lex, who died on December 23rd. He did a really fine job in that show.
Oh, that's too bad. That was a good show, and as well as your group with the Lone Ranger. Excellent, excellent work. Bravo, bravo.
Yes, I hope you can hear me. I'm on this little lapel mic I found in a drawer that was part of a cassette Walkman back in the day. And it wasn't really supposed to work with anything else, but it seems to work with a computer okay. Great shows. I like the background music on the first one. It reminds me of the show, the stuff I usually pick when I'm doing the Christmas marathon or something like that. And then the second one, I like the sound effects. And the guy who played the wub in one of your shows, he was the bad guy in one of these, and I love that man's voice. He's awesome.
Great show, Joy. Thank you. It was really...
We enjoyed it very much.
What?
Oh. We enjoyed it.
I hope you can hear me. I have a new computer and a new mic, but this is all I've got. I can't do better. I didn't realize, you know, at first, the Kentucky group did the Christmas one, and they did good about the goat and everything. It was funny. And then you guys, I love the Lone Ranger. I guess you probably have answered this before, but as a director with ART, do your actors listen to the shows, you know, the old shows? Or I know you recreate, but do you listen to the old shows to get a feel of how the Lone Ranger did it? But the acting, I thought tonight, was really good on both plays.
Yeah, them two good shows. No, seriously, I wasn't around for the first one, but I came in at that kind of like toward the tail end of the Lone Ranger because I was busy eating dinner. Whereas John would lovely put it so lovingly, stuffing my face. But no, good shows. I like the Lone Ranger recreation.
Well, if that's the baseball mic, it sounds cool. And, Joy, you can answer Bob and let him know. Whatever way you do it, it certainly sounded good from here.
I can tell you, I don't direct my actors to go listen to one. The Lone Ranger is a little unique because it's a well-known show, but we had the script for this one from Dave Parker. He had been the doctor's son. And so because of that, I checked out that this is actually a lost show, which made it such that we wanted to do it. But, that one's for Dave. I don't know if they listen to it. Sometimes I give them something to listen to, but when we were going to do The Lone Ranger, instead of casting it, I had everybody gathered together because we were rehearsing for the Christmas party, and I said, okay, this is something I don't normally do. What does anybody want to do here? Who wants to be what? Instead of saying, okay, you're going to be this one, you're going to be that one. And three people wanted to be the Lone Ranger. And finally, Greg said, if Ken's going to be the Lone Ranger, I want to be Tonto. So that's the way it worked out. I think they all had a good time. This is not something we'll be putting up on our website because it's a Lone Ranger. But I wanted to share it with everybody because I know how everybody likes the Lone Ranger. And this is a show you'll never hear other than what we just did.
Well, I love the beginning when you talked about the George Stryker and those guys and how they did it. And boy, that was so accurate. It was really good. Let me ask, and please forgive me if I'm out of the loop. I didn't hear Marge. I hope she's still with us. And was Penny the sound effects lady?
Okay, I'll let her answer that in a minute, but I actually have a question for you, Mr. Acosta. As they say, curiosity killed the cat. I'm assuming your new computer is a Windows 7 computer, and the mic sounds fine, sir. So, and Daniel, your lapel or your lapel mic sounds fine too.
Yeah, I have to agree with that assessment. Both mics sound just great. The lapel mic sounds wonderful. Marge was there. She was playing the doctor's wife. But my announcer didn't get her last name right. I don't know why. I didn't notice it then. When we did the rehearsal, he didn't say any of the names again, so I had nothing to cover it up with. One of these days I'll have him say Marge Lutton and maybe take care of it that way. But the credits has her listed as Marge Deskin or something. No, she was there. And she's fine. She's also 86.
I didn't pick up her voice, but I told Ruthann, now that lady, the doctor's wife, can act. I mean, and I should have guessed it was Marge, 86. And she sounds, you know, like about 55 or 60, a doctor's wife. And played it beautifully. And just says, I wonder about you, masked man. You know, and Marge is wonderful. And did Penny do the sound effects?
Yes, Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt were both doing sound effects. This particular Christmas party was the first one we'd ever tried to perform at Marilyn Wilt's house. And I think it worked pretty well.
Where did you get those gunshots? Those were a little too realistic for, wow, okay, is he really shooting off honest-to-goodness guns? It certainly sounded kind of like that.
And let me add to that, especially at the beginning, they echoed like the Lone Rangers used to do. You know, then later when they shot it on the arm, you could tell. But, yeah, where'd you guys get the gunshots?
Well, when we do it live, we don't use guns. I just don't believe in using guns in a performance. So we use a slapper board in the performance. And then when I get it back home, I substitute some sound effects for it. And I think I use 38s. It's either 38 or a 45, but I have a particular sound clip that I use for that. That was also true with the gunfight, that there were some near guns and some far guns.
I think the 38 is the larger. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a 38. That sounded like an awfully big gun. I was like, wow, that's pretty neat.
The Lone Ranger on the old show sees 45s, Colt 45s. I don't even know if they still have them or whatever. But it was good. No, really, the acting in both shows, I said, Ruthann, this is getting really good. I mean, you guys are always good, but it's more professional. It's really good. And I've sure enjoyed them. And of course, The Lone Ranger. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, if you watch enough of Pawn Stars on the History Channel, every once in a while, somebody will bring in a Colt from, you know, back in the mid to late 19th century. And they still have them around, and they, you know, restore them and all of that. So, yeah, they're still out there. Quite amazing.
Yeah, I know from the time that we first started listening to Joy and her group to now, well, I think even if Joy went back and listened, she would be impressed with the improvement and the smoothness of things the way they are now. You guys have come a long way.
And I thank you, sir. Because, you know, I did do a little editing on this one. I don't think we did as good a job as the Kentucky group did this year because we only had one rehearsal. And that rehearsal did not include music or sound effects. So it was a cold read, and we kind of showed it. But by tightening things up, it was pretty smooth, but all I had to work with was what we recorded. And Daniel, my husband, let's see, his name is Ron, he would like to get back together with you tomorrow afternoon if that's possible. We have a haircut at noon, but we'll be back in the afternoon. So is that possible?
I'll make it brief. I echo John. He said it better than I could. Of course, you had the show, The Lone Ranger, and I didn't notice any problem with the Cole Reed. I'm just the audience, though. But Kentucky did well. They did well. But the orchestration, the orchestra, the quality is much, much better. Just I thought it was digital. Maybe it is. It was just really good. Okay, I'll shut up and let Daniel talk to you.
No, unfortunately, I'm working tomorrow. I have Saturday off. So before MSS starts and after breakfast and somewhere in between there, if he'd like to meet, we can do that. Otherwise, I have Tuesday and Wednesday off, so we can do something with that.
Let me say, while Joy's listening and maybe Ron, this is an easy one Wednesday to cancel because the lady can do afterwards. This was a before the event, but she could also give a report after. I can cancel her. There's no big deal, so I don't want you to feel totally rushed, but if you can make it happen, of course, just let me know if you can by Sunday, because I really have to have time to cancel her, and I haven't even sent it out. No newswire has gone out, thank God. I've almost sent it today, but I didn't. I wanted to wait to hear from Ron, and he told me how things look. So if we don't have it by Sunday, that's no problem. You guys have fun in Canada and stay warm.
Where are they going in Canada?
I forget, near Vancouver, I think. Maybe Joy will tell us.
Yeah, the neat thing about this is every time we get together, we make progress. And I now know where all of the connections go and how to make it all connect up and everything. So all I have to do is connect everything up and call around, and then we can go from there. He doesn't have to wait on me to pull all the cables out and connect this to that and that to that. So it shouldn't take as long. I say that, and then we, you know, we can't hear this and we can't hear that, and so that takes as long. But at least the connect part I've got down.
Okay, I guess we're going to go to Vancouver Island, which is the big island right, just outside of the city. Going to spend 8 or 9 days there, and hopefully it won't rain on us all the time. But either way, we'll walk up and down the beach.
And Daniel, Saturday.
Saturday would work at either 2 or 3 o'clock. I think we should be back about then.
We're out playing ukuleles in the morning.
Yeah,
and then we're going to have a little confab with the guy who is also going up with us. We're going to have a friend go up. So the music for both shows, you have to realize, were taken off of the old shows. Mike was using the music from the original show of Radio City Music Hall, Radio City Playhouse. He was using that original music. I was using music I took off of Lone Ranger shows myself. So the music was original. Was originally old-time radio.
Well, Ruthann's got better ears than I, because she said, no, the Lone Ranger, she didn't know the other one, but the Lone Ranger's original. I said, but the orca is so clear. You know, and it was really good. Daniel, the big question is, are you working Wednesday night? Let's get down to the whatever. If you're working Wednesday night, then the rush is less, or it's less pressure.
No, I'm off actually, so I can help out as long as we get the volumes all set and the thing, you know, behaves itself and all of that. I mean, we can hear each other and everything, but it's not a consistent. It tends to drop out after a while, and we're not sure what's going on with that. But, the electronics all work properly, so that's the good thing. And I'm off Wednesday, so we can, I can help you out.
Joey, if you don't stop bashing yourself, I'm going to come to Seattle and I'm going to smack you. And Ron will let me do it. You guys are doing much, much better. You go and listen to some of the stuff that you guys did 6, 7, 8 years ago compared to what you've got today. And your Lone Ranger was really, really good. And some of the other things that we've heard recently as well.
I like Tano especially, Greg or whatever. I don't know who he is, but he was right to play Tano. He did a good job, and the doctor's wife was good, and the doctor was good. I thought Dave... We needed Dave Parker. Dave was started rusty, but then he got into the son's role better. Yeah, I thought by the end he was sounding younger and trying to be a son, you know. And nobody knew it was a Cole Reed until you told us. So I'm with John. I really enjoyed it. I'm not kidding. And again, Ron, give me an assessment Sunday, but there's no pressure because this is an easy one. This lady might even be better doing it after the thing. But if not, if you guys say go, then we'll do it.
Yeah, 2 o'clock would work fine. You know, the earlier we get started, the better off we are on Saturday. So that'll work fine.
But and we are talking 2 or 3 specific. I mean Pacific, right?
Of course. Heck, you don't want to push anything up an hour, especially if you're the one that's already in the back.
Yes, it is 2 o'clock Pacific. Yes, thank you. We do need to specify that.
Yeah, I was going to say, Michael, what other time is there? But anyway, let me say that the New Year's Eve marathon is supposed to be up in recent shows on Radio Out of the Past.
Oh, that was
and
great.
Events or something. I don't know. Jim usually sends a link, but he didn't do it. So it's up there. And I have Larry sent me a copy to give to Jim. And, of course, I kept it. It was excellent New Year's Eve if you haven't talked about it. That was so much fun. A lot of us needed that. And we weren't depressed where we were sad. We were glad. We stayed home to hear it. We had a couple parties we could have gone to, but it was freezing. And I said, not me. I'm going to hear the marathon. And we hung in there for a while. It was very good. really enjoyable. And Christmas is always good, you guys. Nobody played Grand Central Station. I should have played it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't a host Christmas, I don't think. But that we'll get it again. You can't get them all. And John plays the one that Pat Price likes most of the time. And anyway, good variety. The hosts are doing a great job.
I like Guy Lombardo.
Ruthann loves Guy Lombardo. Yeah, she was in heaven with Guy Lombardo.
And Bob, you always pick such marvelous shows, especially to start us off with. I was in that one show, like I said, I hadn't heard since I was a teenager. It was amazing. And I loved the fact of being able to virtually at least blow up the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Room. It was great. I sat here once I had put all that together and everything and listened to it and just thought it was marvelous. But, you know, then I always think everything that I do is marvelous except for the little things that I catch that I know are wrong. But there's no way in the world I could make it any better. And then everybody's like, it's kind of like Joy. What are you talking about? That was great. Okay, well, as long as you didn't remember, you know, as long as you don't know where it is, that's fine.
And I have to tell everybody that I got through the recordings for the Christmas marathon. I think I got all of the people who had won prizes, and I mailed out all the prizes yesterday. It had to wait until after the whole holiday stuff, but they're all out. The only ones I are still waiting is the two for the Jeffries, John Jeffries and Jane Jeffries, and the email didn't pick up, maybe because it was coming from AOL. I don't know. So I still don't have those mailed out yet. And I've got the prize for Rick and the prize for Maxwell, which will be mailed from Canada. Within the next, you know, handful of days. So, and on New Year's, Ron and I were playing ukuleles at an alpaca farm in County, Maple Valley. A guy has 140 alpacas, and I saw 16 of the little yearlings, and boy, they're cute. Huge, round eyes. Just amazing.
The alpacas are beautiful. Yeah, Bob, I did talk about the New Year's Eve earlier. I understand that West Coast went until 6 o'clock in the morning out there. So, even you missed a lot, just like I did here. But no, I thanked Larry and John for their hosting service, because I didn't really want to. I wanted to do it, but I wasn't sure where I was going to be or how much I could do, and Larry just jumped right in and said he and John would host, and it was remarkable because they were hosting USA Today that night as well, and yet they still were able to do things in here, and I know I left shortly after midnight East Coast time, but things were going very well before I left, and I did thank everyone that participated. And we'll see what happens next year. And as far as Christmas, I didn't do anything other than the marathon Christmas this year, because my turn didn't come up on Thursday night. And I went away from the Pat Price traditional this year, because I had done it for several years. But you can't do everything. There's a lot of stuff out there, and You don't want to ignore other things either.
That's my mood this year, John. You can't do everything. I mean, I was very worried about Don Queen. I had company, but also I missed it. I didn't record it. I didn't help him. And Don helps everybody. Well, he did get the recording to me, and there were people in there. They were discussing the book. I didn't read the book. It was 21 hours. I just can't do it. And they carry on. And so Pat told me that a long time ago, Pat Price. She used to say, they'll do it. They'll either market it, they'll do it, or they won't. And they shouldn't depend on you or me to be in the room. When we're in there, we give it all we got. But when we're not, we're not. We shouldn't feel guilty about it. So that's what I'm doing, what I can. And I'm not reading every book in these book clubs. I'm reading books I want to read. Yay. Some of their choices are excellent, but some of them are not my choice, and I don't want to read them. So, Joy, if you're hearing me, I'm going to try again with this John's email. I put it up there. I sent you an email, but I don't know what happened. John Abermont. Jan is his wife, so if you send it to John, Jan will get it. I'm going to try. Bach, B-O-K, Raj, R-O-J, J-O-K, Jock, 2, at gmail.com. That's the best I can do, and if we're wrong, we'll catch him. He'll be around, but he was there. I can also send you the recording of Radio Waves in the first 10 minutes. They go over the email, but... Joni's uppercase, lowercase, this, than that. I don't know, John. And I said, I'm going to do my best here. And my hearing's not the greatest, but what I read, he made a mistake. He didn't have the app, you know. So I'm giving you what I've got, and if it bounces, we'll get it. And he's not worried about it. He didn't know he was deserving of a prize.
And I love the days when it didn't really make a difference whether it was upper or lowercase. And now some of the servers are bouncing mail if it's not written exactly the way it should be, which is a shame, because it really shouldn't matter. We've got so many unique ways to make an email address that the case of the letters shouldn't make a difference, but people are deciding, okay, it does. That was actually 6 East Coast time that we stayed up for the marathon, and we had Matt Cox, we had Maxwell Crawford, and then we had Matt Cox, and then we had Michael. And Michael had already said, guys, if you don't get to mine, don't worry about it, And Matt Cox was doing a passage to India, which he did in 2012. So, that was something we could have skipped. And I just kept asking, Larry was up there in spirit because he was up in the top of the moderators, he was in name only. And so I kept asking. It was me and Michael and Max Crawford and Fran. And I said, you guys want to, hear the next one, or should we stop? No, we'll keep going. And Rick was here there as well. And you want to hear the next one? Yeah, let's keep going. And we just kept on right on going up until 6 o'clock. And then we stayed up until 6:30 talking about what we had heard. So it was great. It was really, really neat. And I was glad to help out and play what needed to be played and, all of that. It was fun.
I didn't even think about turning the computer on and seeing if anybody was still hanging around the chat room. I watched the fireworks here at, midnight, and then we kind of packed everything up. The email I copied right out of your mail, Bob, and then AOL said, can't deliver this. So I'll try it again. It's just that some things get really unhappy about AOL. A couple of my actors who have Comcast doesn't like it. So we try. I've got them packaged up. As soon as I find an address for them, we can put it off. I don't care when it is.
Well, I put it up on the text chat somewhere. Maybe you don't see it up there, and maybe I messed it up. But it's I can dictate. I can repeat it again. What I know it to be. But again, Joni didn't even have it, and it wasn't just the upper or lowercase. Joni started talking about the email so much, and he made a mistake or two. Oh, I didn't mean that. And I said, I'll do my best. So we'll catch him. He'll show up somewhere. And I'll put mine. I wanted to put mine up and let him write me a note. But he goes, oh, no, I'll put mine. I'll put my wife's. I'll put everybody. Well, I don't know. So, but I have the recording of the program if you want to try to hear it yourself. But I'd wait. He's a good guy. We'll find him. We'll find him. You guys beat us. The latest we were ever up was not old time radio. It was 3 in the morning, Pacific Coast time. Bookshare said Harry Potter, the first book, is going to be published, well, today or tomorrow, whenever it was. We will present it. We will make it happen for the blind. We're going to work all night. And at 3 in the morning, the CEO for Bookshare, Benetech, Jim Fruchterman is his name, got on and chatted with us, and they were in the office, and we had a great time talking books, talking old-time radio, everything. And they did it.
Everybody.
And they did it. They had a scanner going full blast, and they said, we have it up. You guys can get it just like the sighted public. And that was a really tough thing to do, but they did it, and I was very proud of them. But I think you beat us. You guys are wonderful.
I think on that Harry Potter book, everybody everywhere was well prepared, and even places like UPS, who don't normally deliver on Saturdays, was delivering that day. So, yeah, they had that. I don't know how the heck they did that, because, God, you have a hard time at Christmas time getting UPS to deliver on weekends. But they were out for that book, and National Braille Press had it out, the libraries had it out, like Bob said, Bookshare. It was just amazing how that got around to everybody. Anyway, gang, and I'm surprised my computer hasn't died all day. Let's see what happens when I start to turn it off. It might die before I get it off. But it's been a good boy today. And so I'm going to get on out of here, Bob. I don't know what you're going to cut out and what you're going to keep. But again, Joy, thank you very much. Great presentation. And looking forward to many more of them. So, as I normally close, may the good Lord take a liking to each and every one of you, and my best to all for a great New Year's, and we'll see you all soon. Good night.
Good night, John. You know what might be interesting is to get a lot of us together that have read or listened to Harry Potter in some form or other for an anniversary or of some kind, you know, either when the first book came out. I saw it on the library in NLS. They had it in Braille, and I downloaded all three of the ones that they had, the first, the second, and the third one, and then I just kind of left it, you know, on the CD. I was grabbing Braille books off the library, you know, just in case the government decided to shut it down. It wasn't going to be a, you know, permanent thing or whatever. You know, I was bound and determined. I was going to have, you know, every Braille book, whether I liked it or not, copied onto a CD. And, you know, then if they did close it down or whatever, I'd have the books. And those were just, you know, one of the three of the books that I got. And when they came out with the fourth one, all of a sudden people were staying up at midnight to get this fourth book. I was like, wow. You know, the last time I ever saw anybody stay up at midnight to get anything was at Windows 95 when that first came out. Maybe I'm missing something. I had the day off. I remember, you know, I was working at the hotel at the time, and it was Good Morning America. So I started listening to the first one, and I just was enchanted and told my wife, I said, yeah, we've got to do this. So we listened to all three of them, you know, an hour at a time, putting us to sleep.
Well, I don't know when we did it, but in the one summer, Ruth Ann and I, the summer right around all these books, we got Jim Dale reading it. Jim Dale was on Barnum. We saw him play in Barnum, and we met him. My friend and reader, but friend first, loved him. And we met him at back in the studio. He came out of the dressing room, and she tackled him practically. And he was great, and he read it and was masterful. I understand Eric Sandvold was good, and there's a guy named Steve Fry in England. I didn't read the Braille. I got to tell you, I think hearing it this time, although I love Braille, is better because Jim Dale had all the voices, all the accents. We just stayed right with it. All summer we had a great time just goofing up and listening and staying with all six books or whatever it was. Listen, guys, I'm going to run. This is fantastic. And John didn't hear me, but he's improving with age as well. He's doing a really good job hosting. He's gotten a lot of hosts involved. He's not as grumpy. I'm the grumpy one now. I nearly walked out on a men's store today because I got a coupon, and they said it had been used before. Well, I knew that I hadn't. Well, you think, well, the manager will just sign it off. No, he calls, you guessed it, tech support. We're waiting a half hour. And I said, why don't we just cancel the whole sale here? A couple of $100 in clothes. Oh, no, wait, sir, please, please. And finally, I was just going to leave, and they came in, and the techie got on and did the backup plan and helped them. But, oh, man. And anyway, I have more sympathy for my wife when she's out there 2 hours shopping. I said, what are you doing? Why did it take so long? So anyway, that was mine. But I had a good day. We had a good day. So I'm going to say goodbye, and you guys are great. And let's carry on old-time radio, new-time radio, whatever, forever and ever.
Well, hi, Doc.
Hi, Michael.
Did you pull out that stuff yet, sir?
Well, I took the book out and filed it. I haven't pulled the RER stuff yet. I hope to get to that next day or so. My game plan is to finish up the single files that I still have to clean up. There's not many of those left. Then I'll do the zips. And after that, I just run through the library one more time to make sure I haven't missed anything in the last 10 years, and we're done, effectively. So all I need is probably one good session, maybe a night or something, and I can finish the singles, and I'll just pull the stuff then. So it'll come out of there fairly shortly.
It be very good to hear you, sir. I am on my way to have a snack and a drink. It just arrived, so I will do that and see you anon.
All right. Okay. Enjoy your snack and drink, and we'll see you either here or over there.
Sir, I'll look for you both places.
Yeah, I'm going to try. It's been a long day, and we still have a snowstorm in progress. It's been basically about 5 degrees above zero for the last all week, and the roads were a little hard to negotiate, etc. So, and by the time I got back, we didn't have. In fact, I still haven't eaten yet, but we had supper around 9 o'clock, so that's why I just came in now. But I'll make an effort to be around one place or t'other. Mike, I put that book into Susan's file because I think that's one she might like.
The Satantis Woman?
Yeah, I mean, it's a sort of a romance, and it's a woman's slant, which I know she was looking for, those sort of things. You know, it's got obviously a little bit of violence in it, but nothing that you wouldn't expect to hear, and some four-letter words, mostly from a 12-year-old German kid, but nothing that's horrible, and, you know, she's not... That sort of thing don't really shock her. I think she just was not happy with having somebody having their head sliced off every 10 seconds.
Okay, well, you better hurry up and get that stuff out of there, because you're two books behind.
You put more books in, you mean? Because the stuff that's in there is just, you know, piddly little things. The books won't hurt it.
No. I said you better hurry up and get what's in there out so I can put two more books in there. You're two books behind.
You can put those in, Mike, because that stuff for RIR is not very big.
All right, I'll drop them in probably tomorrow then or something. And guess what, sir? Since you said that you miss him, guess who's back? Mr. Smoke Jensen is back. Smoke Jensen, 42.
Oh, that's nice. Usually those things run about 600 megs, so that's probably about 1.2, 1.3 gigs in there. And once I get Susan's out of her folder, I don't have a whole lot of stuff else sitting there. The TWTD stuff's there, but people will pull that stuff out eventually anyway. And I'm not sure if that stuff counts against me or not. But anyway, we should be able to get those books out.
Oh, okay. Well, then then I guess we're good to go. So I'll be sending those books up to you, tomorrow.
Yeah, try it. I think they're pretty forgiving about letting things come in, and then they sort of give you a little notice saying, you're over. They don't do much about it as long as you pull it soon. So obviously, if it doesn't go through, you'll know that there's other stuff that other people haven't taken out yet that are clogging it up. But let's give it a try, Mike. You know, and whatever I have that I need to take out won't be there very long, and what I need to take out isn't much. So if it doesn't go through, it's because other people haven't taken stuff out of our joint folders.
All right. No problem. So are you going to go have a snack and drink too, sir?
No. I'll probably be hours yet before I'm ready to eat. Came in, had a glass of water, and then a glass of chocolate milk, because they say chocolate milk's a good replenishment of fluids and electrolytes and stuff like that. So, and I just don't have an appetite right now. But if we don't fall asleep, you'll be here for quite a while anyway, so there's plenty of time to eat later on.
I fixed dinner while my program was playing.
Yeah, sorry, Joy. I was hoping to get back in time for it. I thought I might have a crack at it, but about an hour before I was finished, my friend came along and needed me to go out to the Bell Company store because he needed a new PVR. And actually, the way it works out, his stuff is on my account because I can put extra subscribers on my system. So because I'm a nice guy, I let him piggyback onto my system. But that means if we add equipment, I've got to okay it. So in doing so, and having to pick up some fuses for my house to eventually try to get the kitchen back in order, it put me behind enough that, sorry, we just didn't make it quite in time. By the time I got back here, they were having supper, and I figured I'd just at least sit there and be there. So it was no intentional snub or anything. I was kind of looking forward to it.
You want me to put a copy in the Dropbox?
You could, but I imagine it'll be in the archive, too. We were just, if you heard the conversation, we're not sure how much stuff we can stick in Dropbox for the time being, but, I'll catch up to it. I'd like to hear how that Lone Ranger came out.
Whatever, just let me know when you want me to send it your way. I'd be happy to do that. I mean, I'm not going to do anything more with it.
Mm-hmm. And you did get my response that I'm ecstatic over you sending the LNA stuff. Like I said, I think that's worth several marathons worth of prizes, so that should ease things. Especially for you, the prize dealer, because, as you know, I've got a fair amount of OTR, and it might be a little awkward to try to find stuff that will surprise or improve. Well, you could probably improve on most of my stuff, actually, but, you know, this makes it easy for you, and that I like that idea.
Most of the prizes this time came from the various things that I had bought, and I decided I would put them into my computer onto the disk drive. So I had no fear about using them for prizes for various people like Daniel, because I loaded up the disk drive for him before I did that. So I remember the ones that weren't on the disk drive, and so I made sure some of them went to Daniel as part of his prize from the marathon.
Thou art a smart lady. Noticing where you're going. Now, I don't know Vancouver Island all that well. I spent some time on there. I hadn't heard of the place you're going before, which is not terribly surprising. I suppose I've only heard of a half a dozen of them.
You mean you haven't heard of Parkville, which is kind of a resort area north of Nanaimo, which is the big ferry landing port, which is north of Victoria on Vancouver Island, or Ucolat, which is on the west side of the island and is part of the life-saving trail that is all along the west side of the island in case you got shipwrecked.
Yeah, I didn't know about the trail. Basically, I know about the ferry because, of course, we had to take it across. I think that it disembarked at Nanaimo. My destination was largely Campbell River, and I think we did a few little places around there. It was my son's wedding, primarily, but we were on the NBC for a couple of weeks, so we did get to see a little bit along the coast on the island, that sort of thing. He took us around a little bit, but didn't see a lot of things, so that one spot I didn't see. What I was impressed with was the ads on the local radio for all of these former lumber towns that had a lot of houses available that were modern and ready to go for about like $35,000 because there's nothing there in the town anymore. So if you want a nice retirement place, that's the way to go.
Campbell River, been there. We used to do a sailboat. We used to borrow a friend's sailboat and sail around Desolation Sound, and Campbell River was the place that we would switch crews for the sailboat. Did that for 3 or 4 years way back when. But yeah, I remember Campbell River. It was a cute little town.
Interesting, yeah, and they had a really nice native exhibit there. I think it's almost like a pavilion for native crafts and such. And I was last there at the turn of the century, so things will have changed. But there was a woman there who ran the taxi company. I think they had one taxi cab, and I forget her name. It was just, it just suited her personality, and she was. Basically, she could have been a roller derby queen type of gal, but she was kind of like Shrevey in the Shadow. I mean, she once you had her, she'd be quite willing to take you on all day long, over the place and whatever else. And I'm not even sure if she would charge that much. I mean, she was just a very friendly gal, and if nothing else was going on, she was quite happy to adopt you.
The loyal opportunist staying the night?
Pretty much decided that in this kind of winter weather, I'm going to be late anyway, so Thursday night she's going to stay over as long as she can stand doing so. And I called the bank and got an update on the computer. They've added another couple of weeks to the waiting period that they keep stretching, but now they're saying, well, I got it calculated, we should have it by Valentine's Day. It really all depends on Best Buy. I guess that's who are supplying all these things. And when they get a lump of shipment in, they fill the orders. And when they don't have a lump of a shipment, we sit around and wait. But at least that means I'm getting a fresh computer as opposed to something that's been sitting around the warehouse for a year.
Yeah, really? Wow, that's cool. So you should get it by... Hey, okay. So she's going to get a present for Valentine's Day.
Well, that's just my guess. That's where their 10-week rating period from where they decided to start the clock ticking on December the 8th will end up. We could have it well before then, or who knows. So I don't think it's going to count for Valentine's, especially since it's been coming since... I can't blame the bank on all of this, but we started the process July 31st, so I don't think it makes much of a present. We did make one... short circuit, though. The instructions were it had to be delivered to our house, and of course if you're not there, which we wouldn't be, then Purelator or UPS or whoever's doing it or the post office takes it back. Normally they just give you a note saying come and pick it up, but apparently in this case they take it back and they send it back and you have to kind of reorder again. So we temporarily changed your address so that it can come here and somebody can receive it. So at least we'll finally get this thing over with.
Erg. But at least you'll get it, so that's the important thing, is that you will get it. And then you can use hers for whatever need be. Have you talked to Susan at all this past week? I mean, well, I know we talked around Tuesday, but, after that.
No. I hope we'll see her tonight so I can tell her about the book. I Headscape on a little bit the last couple of nights, but not as much as I normally would. I was busy at times, and other times I was sort of tuned out. So it has been on to a degree, but not much.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Well, I'm officially in the big leagues, thanks to Ron and Daniel. I finally plugged in my mixer today. So I can say I'm taking a little teeny weeny baby steps, but I'm almost to where Joy is right now, and I'm happy with that. So I can play in the room and do the mixer and all that. But I'm still learning. So.
You're almost where I am. When are you going to edit one of my shows?
You told me not to. I meant as far as playing in the room went.
Yeah, I know what you meant, Mike. And, of course, we know that none of us will ever get to Joy's level. Geez, for once, this mic is working into the room nicely. Oh, well. I probably won't order a mixer that soon, but once things settle down, I'm going to be intrigued enough to see if I can jerry-rig something. Because at one time, I did have something set up with my reel-to-reel machine and the computer for something else I was doing, and it would have worked as a mixer. And I also had another system through one of my multiband radios that I could make a very basic mixer out of, but that's all I really needed. So this gets me intrigued. Sometimes it's just the fun of seeing if you can do it. You would probably never use it because it's too complex or too awkward, but once you know you can do it, then you go and you buy the stuff and make it life easier.
Oh, and actually, that came out a little short because you guys do edit into. No, I was talking about editing one of my 30-minute, 60-minute shows from recording to finish. That's what I mean as an edit.
Hey, we could have a lot of fun with that, guys. Look at all the stuff Daniel's got in storage. And we might be able to import the best of Braxman into that, too. Really delight Joy with the finished product. She wouldn't even recognize it.
Yeah, there you'd be, just intermix Luis, Daniel, myself, you, with Joy stuff, yeah, and just make a big hodgepodge of just, and see what comes out.
No, that would be too obvious. We have to do something really subtle, some little thing. Like Hitchcock used to do in his movies, he'd do a little cameo through his movies. We have to do a little something that's almost subliminal and see if we can sneak it past her.
Good bloody luck.
She throws down the gauntlet, and I'm not going to pick it up.
Neither am I. I'm going to step away from that very, very gingerly.
Yeah. Joy's one person I'd rather have on my side than on my back. All this neat stuff she does for us. We wouldn't want to do anything too hurtful.
Besides which, I know it's all in good fun.
Yeah. Yeah, because then she'd probably take Ron and hit us over the head with him.
You don't think I'm that kind of physical person, do you?
That's not a bad idea, though, Mike. If she did that, maybe some of that would rub off on us. Some of that brain power.
Hey, yeah, and then technology wouldn't be as complicated for me, because Ron's, I mean, if you think I'm the guy to go to, oh, man, you should go to Ron.
Well, I would, but she's so far above me as a professor that we don't even speak the same language.
Well, I officially acquired my own computer guru here in El Centro as of today. I told him. Because I took a friend's, Donald, his computer, because he needed the system reinstalled, and so it turns out that he had a faulty hard drive, and so he charged him $75 for that, plus the installation, $60 for that. So I said, all right. I said, look, officially then, when he came and brought the computer, because he was nice enough to bring it over here to the house, because, of course,
to take it was $5 a piece. You know, $5 to take it and $5 to come back via the taxi. So when he came in, brought it at 3 o'clock Pacific time. I said, "All right, look, you officially have become my computer guru." I said, "Can I call you if I have any questions or any, you know?" He said, "Yeah, go ahead. You know, if it's anything that you're interested in buying, you know, I can help you out. But if it's anything that you need, you know, that you have, you know, better to bring it in." I said, no, just any technical questions I have." He goes, yeah, I'll help you out." I said, "All right, good." So,
good for you. It's great to have somebody in your back pocket rather than the retail types. I'm a little worried about my guru. He's a golfer, and up until this week, he could still golf. Normally, the season ends usually if the first sloggy snows in November. Now, Richard is one of these guys. He's a bit like Ron in that he loves making old computers work. And like Ron, he usually assigns them a specific task. And he's using some old stuff and some new stuff. Most of what he's doing probably is no newer than 98, actually. But the point is, he's good at all this sort of stuff, and he loves doing it. But he's serious about his computer. He doesn't put a lot of stuff in it. He doesn't want to do anything that's going to incur malware and such. So his computers are very closed. He doesn't do a lot of fooling around with them. The last week or so, he sent me two of these, you know, forwards of probably little funny vignettes. I haven't opened them yet, but for a guy who's very guarded about what he uses, this kind of scares me.
I hope he wasn't hacked. I mean, if he doesn't usually do that kind of stuff. Now, is that the gentleman, is that the fellow that you told me that that has a mess load of license, of Windows 98 license, so therefore Microsoft has to allow him to continue using it for as long as he can and all that, right?
Yeah, that's the guy. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but that's when he told me that as long as he holds these licenses, they can't refuse him. And I know nothing more than what he said about that. Yeah, this is the same guy who's training the seagulls out in the golf course to bring back the golf balls.
Well, I guess if you must have a hobby, you must have a hobby. You must do what you got to do. So,
no, he's been good to me. I mean, he gave me my first computer for home because I didn't want to keep having to do stuff manually at home and bring it back into work in the morning and, you know, re-enter stuff. And then I think he's given me a couple other computers for backups. He wanted to make a server out of one of them. We never got around to it. And he gave me a 24-inch LCD TV that we can use for a spare monitor. If I can only find out how to keep this XP machine of mine from reverting back to its internal monitor, I'd be fine. Because then I'd be able to use this thing as a desktop. You know, because as you know, the peripherals on the old Toshiba have, you know, worn out, but the guts are still good. Like, it would still make a good desktop if I could just keep an internal or an external monitor to be an external monitor. Something else I learned today that surprised me. You know how much I don't like Acers. But my buddy was with today, has just taken over the taxi company, one of the main taxi companies in town, and he's modernizing it to be almost like yours, you know, like all the GPS and modern computerized tracking and all that kind of stuff. So they're getting away with radio dispatch, and he's got these tablets that are fixed in the taxis. So you're going to do computerized dispatching. They're using Acer dispatchers. The guys in Toronto say they're the best ones going, or Acer tablets. So, what's that say about this crappy Acer company?
I thought Acer is what used to be IBM.
Ah. Well, when I got this one, as much as I've never liked Acer, and as you know, I didn't like this one, they said they were ranked just after, I think at the time when I got this, I think Samsung was number one and this was number two in the business. And I will say, after the first year of just wanting to throw this thing up on the shelf and forget about it, and the next year and a half of training it, it really is performing, for the most part, satisfactorily. Once in a while, the sound card hiccups like it did during the marathon, and I have to reset it, but That doesn't happen very often. So I have to say that if I get stuck with another one, I could probably live with it. But I'm hoping to get something like an Asus or Toshiba or whatever next year when the time comes. Of course, I'm sitting right next to a Toshiba I want to get my hands on in a few weeks, too.
Yeah, but nothing like buying. Well, I mean, nothing like buying computers out of your own pocket. I guess you could say because, well, this laptop, you know, right now is chugging along, and of course, you know, Michael being Michael, Michael's waiting for Windows 10 to come out, which from what I hear, will probably be in the late summer, early fall, I guess, when Windows 10 will come out. So I don't know, maybe for next Christmas I might get myself a Windows 10 computer.
Yeah, but you got a deal of a deal on what you got, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, yeah. You know, so I'd leave this Windows 7 machine as a spare. Or, you know, just in case the 8 were to, I mean, this, the 10 were to go south on me.
The minute I said that Acer was the old IBM, I could hear Ron in the other room saying, no, it's Lenovo is the old IBM.
Really? Lenovo? Because that brand name comes out on the tech list I'm on a lot. Lenovo, my Lenovo laptop, and my Lenovo this, and my Lenovo that. Erg.
Well, that's good to know when it's time to shop around for another one. My first desktop that we built at work were IBM clones, and we ran IBM stuff, etc. And I had no trouble with it. As much as they were crude DOS machines and that sort of thing, but they were very good hardware and software. They couldn't ask anything more of them than what they were doing. They never gave us any trouble.
Yeah, my laptop is a Lenovo. And said that when IBM decided to get out of the personal computer field and they sold that particular part to the Chinese, and that's where Lenovo comes from.
Well, I'm glad that people have that name straight. It's not Bonobo, since those are those monkeys that have the fluorescent genitalia to attract their mates. They have bright orange and bright blue and that sort of thing. And apparently this breed of monkeys are totally absorbed in sexual activity. And they use it for weapons, for bribery, and everything else. So as long as you keep those names straight, you shouldn't have any embarrassment.
Am I correct? Yeah, I remember watching a documentary on those kinds of monkeys a while back.
You know, they say that's the only breed of monkey or primate outside of man that uses sex as a tool.
Right, and if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if we're talking about the same thing here, but I think they also said that that's the only breed of monkey, or I don't know if all monkeys or all primates necessarily, that has sex for pleasure, just like, you know, like mankind.
Yep, that's them. You've been watching any of those little tidbits on the electronics show in Vegas? You know, pretty intriguing stuff. Like I get things so confused at my age, but I think they have a wristband now that is capable of being released from your wrist, and it'll actually act like a drone and go ahead of you and turn around and take selfies of you. And they also have a smartwatch that by tapping it, you can call your car from its parking spot to come and get you.
Wait, what? Are you serious? So you can call your car, and how's it going to drive itself to where you are? I mean, or what? Or is it going to throw it to the GPS on the watch or something? Or what do they say? Okay, so we're getting closer to the driverless car, people. But of course, for us blindies, it sucks because, Yeah, okay, we're gonna get the driverless car in 2020, but we're gonna have to wait till 2030 to actually do it, because we're gonna have to wait 10 years or so until it goes down in cost to be able to afford the darn thing.
Not from what I hear. And of course, it's all speculation, but the suggestion is that the driverless car is not going to be more than the. Well, they're hoping to keep it about $1,000 or so more costly than the standard car, because most of the technology is already well entrenched. It's just a matter of packaging it. So, it could be there. The one, the Mercedes or the other company has got the driverless one. I forget which of the two, but one of them has it set up to be so driverless that the driver's seat actually swivels 360 degrees. So that if you want to have a conference or something with a passenger in the back seat, you just turn your seat around and go ahead with it. They are probably using GPS and computer and laser cameras and whatever else to do this. They never said how far this call your car home routine would work. I'm assuming they're talking about parking lots or things like that. And I haven't seen any features. These are just little clips that they tail on in the newscast. So you'd have to watch Discovery or somebody like that. I'm sure they're doing whole piles of stuff on it this week.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Oh, man. Wow. So that cool. So that means I could take a selfie of myself and then put it up on Skype or email it to whoever wants it, If they have that wristwatch or the band thingy thing.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of logistics you have to figure out. Heck, even with these drone bands, if I heard right, maybe it's something else that flies away from you, but whatever the feature would be, it's going to have the same problem as they have with the drone helicopters from Amazon and that sort of thing. They're still going to run into overcrowding and have to have some safety rules. I mean, you're walking down the street and four of these bands go flying by you on their mission to do something or other. It could be dangerous.
I suppose, but not that dangerous. I mean, we're getting closer, partner. We're getting closer. Either I'll drive up to Canada to visit you, or you'll be able to drive down to California and go visit your cousin and eat your Dodger dogs and all that rot with Matt and Bob Acosta and the rest of the gang.
Yeah, I think they've actually made it to Colorado now, but, we could waylay there and then head to California after that. Well, with my luck, it'll just be a motorized scooter I'll be driving.
Okay, Michael, are you using your mixer now with your microphone, or is this the microphone straight into your laptop?
No, sir, this is the microphone straight into the laptop. You want me to plug the mixer in, sir?
No, I was just wondering, because if it was into the mixer, I can hear the 60-cycle hum, and that might be due to the mixer and might be solvable, but if it's the microphone straight in the PC, we can't solve it by fiddling with the mixer for sure.
Oh, I'm going to have to listen more carefully. I didn't hear that hum.
It's pretty quiet, but, you can tell when he releases the key that all of a sudden it becomes even quieter.
But usually, I haven't been on Skype since we were on earlier today. Now, I wonder if we get on there, or when we get on there, I wonder if Skype will cancel it out. Skype usually does anyway.
Okay, I could hear some background hum, but I wouldn't have identified a 60-cycle. I would have taken some kind of ambient stuff, like even the fan or something else in the computer. I squeezed my headphones as close as I could to the two brain cells, and I'm certainly not arguing with Ron at all. It's just that shows how sensitive he is to these really fine points, because it escaped me altogether. So you could make Ron an honorary blindie, because he can use his ears as good as you guys can.
All right, well, I moved the microphone just a tad away from the laptop itself. It's not as close as it was before.
I think it's still there, Mike, but all I can say is if I had a sound that sounded as good as you do, I wouldn't care about anything people said, because you're doing very well.
No, Rotten could be right. It may not be 60-cycle. It's definitely there, but it's really low level. It's just if I had it and I was connected to a mixer, I would be fiddling with the mixer to try to get rid of it. But other than that, no, it's not that. Nobody else would notice.
Okay, either that or I could pull a Rick and reboot the system, see if that'll take care of it.
No, Mike, it's nothing at anywhere near that kind of a level. It obviously takes somebody who's skilled like Ron to pick it up. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's probably just your brain activity that we're hearing.
Yeah, well, John was the first person to mention it. I wouldn't have even thought about it until he mentioned it. And so then I started listening more carefully. And, you know, if you really listen, okay, but this is so much better than most people's, I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, I'm just wondering because maybe I'll go do a test recording on Goldwave real quick because I don't want it to come through on my next presentation. And that's what worries me. Well, bye, Mr. Sorrentino. And that's what worries me.
That wouldn't even bother Mike. To be picky about it, I can hear some background ambient noise in Ron. That's probably a bit louder than what we're hearing with you. There's so little there that I don't think you'd ever have to be concerned about it corrupting anything you're doing. I wouldn't even bother.
Yeah, I have enough refrigerated noise and other things here that, yeah, I'm sure I'm not very quiet.
No, but, you know, it's just the ambiance or the environment around you that I hear. So Joy was mentioning that you're having you're getting the heebie-jeebies about your computer might be on the fritz.
Mike, if you hear what Ron has in the background, knock it down by about 80%. That'd be what you've got. So you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, actually, my furnace just came on, so you can hear it. It's even louder. Yeah, I have a really old computer that I usually use for doing tech talk and things like that, and it's beginning to show its age. It's slower than a gigahertz by quite a bit, and running XP, and I think it's reaching the end of its lifetimes, and I may have to go to one of my three or four faster computers.
All right, Doc, so there you go, partner. You're not alone as far as your computer being on the fritz, because Ron has just joined the club. And I don't know if I want to be part of that club, but, you know, there you be.
Yeah, but don't forget, mine's been good all year, first of all. And the only one I've got on the fritz right now, that's just not because of wear, is my desktop, and that's 14 years old, and just was last year when the hard drive, I'm sure, has separated. Other than that, it was still functional. So, at any rate, there was something I wanted to say, but I guess it's not that important. Except for this. I know we've been around this horn before a few times, but Ron's talking about just three or four computers. You've got two or three. I've got two or three. Wasn't that long ago we were dreaming about having a computer? Now there's probably nobody I can think of that has at least one backup.
Yep, this is truth. This is truth. Because I never thought I would. I dreamed many moons ago of owning a computer. Of course, the first computer I had, I got it through, rehab or whatever Canadia calls it up there, which is your state-sponsored program. And now this one, this laptop here, I got it on my own. I opened up a Dell account and whatnot, what have you. And so, I agree. I mean, yeah, we've been around this horn before, but it's always, I mean, you know, I'll say this, I've said this before, and I'll say this again. Technology never ceases to amaze me.
Well, me neither, although it's got to the point where I'm beginning to lose a lot of interest in it because it's beyond where I want to go. I don't think I've ever bought a computer. The first few I had were donors, which were, you know, very basic machines, but they got me onto the system and actually got me online and that sort of thing. And then from then on, my desktop and my subsequent two laptops were all, as you put it, rehab stuff. And my next one, if this program hasn't died, will be the same way.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing, amazing. Well, but see, you're cheap, so you wouldn't want to spend any money either, so. You know. So I can understand your point of view, where you're coming from.
Oh, yeah, I'm cheap, but every 5 years is sufficient for, to me. If they're going to let me have a machine every 5 years, then I'll live with that quite happily. Of course, this other little Toshiba sitting here, I will, well, I guess I won't have to buy it because we're making a deal that she doesn't need it and it needs repair, so it'll be mine. So I guess the only thing is if I just choose to repair it, I may just run an external screen permanently on it, but eh, we'll decide that later.
Yeah, well, I was going to suggest that you probably, maybe since you can't get your other computer to stay with the external monitor, maybe you can get the Toshiba to stay with the external monitor, and there you be.
Oh, yeah, it works quite well. We got a 16-inch one sitting on here, and so I could make it my desktop. It's just that because it's in good condition and not have a lot of mileage on it, I kind of like to have it, since the battery and everything else is good, available to use as a portable. This one still works that way, but you know, I'd like to have this one as a portable and then get the old one that's beyond portability as a desktop. And then next year it won't be a real issue because hopefully I'll have another machine. I don't know if I'll get that notebook next time. Maybe they won't be giving us those anymore. Maybe they're going to switch to, you know, newer stuff. And maybe stuck with a tablet or something. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, one of these days they're going to make the computer so small and so thin that the plugs aren't going to go into it anymore. And then what are we going to do?
Keep unplugging? We're almost that way with those little iPad minis. I think, I know I haven't seen the stuff, but I know, as you know, there's some things that, some peripherals that we would love to have in, you know, our daily use that you don't have in those.
Well, you know, they have the quarter inch jacks, which were the standard for forever. Then they came out with the eighth inch jack, and they finally made that into stereo. And then, I don't remember, the other day I found one of those little mini jacks that now is also in stereo, so maybe eventually we'll come out with something like that and really be able to thin things down and make things really small. I think they're small enough as it is, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, like I say, Daniel, we've all been following this stuff, and I think we're going to be getting more and more within our capability of finances to the point where we're going to be using some of those processors that are brain-tuned and things along that line, so. You know, you've seen what's developed the last few years, and you know what's out there. And I don't think we're, us little people are that far away from the stuff that's out there. Where, you know, back in the 80s or earlier, they'd show you cell phones, and you knew you weren't going to get a cell phone for a few years. I think I saw my first one in 85 or something. Of course, rich people had them. You know, and it took a few years before I had one. Now with the computers and such, if you see it out there on the market, chances are within a couple of years you can get one yourself.
Yeah. Hey, fellas, and Joy, or anybody who's listening, Lucky Lou's over here on Skype. I just came to see who was on here, and I see Louis, Mr. Fontanez on here. If you want to come over here and see what he's up to. I know you guys kind of talked to him on Tuesday, but of course it was brief and short.
But you might want to try to bring him in or write him a message or something to see if he can talk, because when I saw him online, I thought he was here for the meeting, so I just naturally brought him in and then was told, no, you know, actually I'm here just working. So you might check and see if he's available before we do that. Invite him in here, since there's more of us in here than he is out there. I haven't heard anything from Bob, or at least I haven't, on his iPhone this go-round.
No, Bob hasn't said anything.
He could be frozen. It's colder there than it is here.
I couldn't believe it when Marcia was talking about, you know, below freezing temperatures and all of that kind of, oh, yeah, you know, it's just how we do things here in Michigan.
Yeah, below freezing my foot. It's been about 5 degrees you know, 3 to 5 degrees basically all week, and windy as well, which brings it down to probably about they call it wind chill of probably about 12 or 15 below. That's fun to be outside in a few hours at a time.
Oh, yeah, I meant below zero. Sorry, not below freezing. Below zero.
Yeah, and that's well below average for us. We really, if the world runs properly, we're usually just a couple of degrees below freezing in the daytime and maybe 10 below at night. And, you know, you get isolated little pockets of blasts, as you know, but this is well below what we'd expect. But it's reaching its worst, I guess, today or so. So you'll likely begin to see it ease up in your way the next day or two as well.
Yeah, they were talking about, I guess, today and tomorrow being the worst ones. And I'm not sure going into the weekend if we're still expecting cold temperatures or if it's supposed to ease up. So this Jeannie said it was raining through the weekend, but as far as the warm-up, hopefully it'll happen by the weekend.
Well, I got to continue being nice to you and make up whatever might be bothering Susan so we don't get any more of these Texas lows that come up and hit the Ohio Valley and kind of skirt around us. And the worst combination is, are those things, because they're full of hot air and moisture, which just makes more snow. And then if it combines with an Alberta Clipper from Tall Guy, it just makes it miserable. The Clippers don't have a whole lot of snow with them, and they go by quickly, but they still just enhance whatever the Texas stuff is giving us.
Yeah, I like Tall Guy because he changes his Skype little saying. He says something about Chinooks, we look for these things. And then now he says it's bitterly cold here now. Something like that.
Well, it's just like your prairies, the same kind of geography. So you know what the plains are like. So are ours.
Yeah, that was New Mexico with the plains, and even we never did have the degree lows that you guys did. We were in the high teens and 20s, and thought that was cold enough, because a lot of times the wind would just, you know, blow through, and of course the wind chill factor made it that much worse.
You know, the hard part for us right now is we haven't had a lot of snow, enough to, you know, cover the ground and a couple of inches here and a couple of inches there. And it's not enough for the plows to come out and really do a real number on the roads. They try to scale back the plow somewhat for economy. And if it's really cold, the salt and other combinations they use really don't do anything. I think once it gets below about 25 degrees, it loses effectiveness. So when you get a real cold snap, a lot of the snow just stays on the ground, on the roads, and it becomes hard and slippery. Or if they do have a patch of sand or something on it, it becomes kind of slushy. Either way, it's really hard to push things through it.
Erg.
What does Mr. Fontanet say, sir, if he says anything?
Nah, he no said nothing. He went offline. I said, are you busy? And he know right back, so. Hey, but if we were to make the switch over here, maybe the dock could connect? Hint, hint. Practice, practice.
I guess I could try that. Should I leave the room open so after I fail, you can let me know and we can bring somebody in to fix it?
Well, that could be done. If we're really considering doing that, I'm going to go ahead and go back there so that way I don't bother her. Because Skype is more of a dynamic connection, and we tend to chime in more. So, you know, we're always on, and somebody's always got something to say. I tend to get loud, I guess, when I'm on Skype, more so than in the room itself.
My God, it's gone up to minus 10 Celsius. I haven't seen that since last weekend. That's because it's snowing. Okay, so I'll flip over, and then I start by bringing in one person, and then add from there. So I just choose which one of you guys I want to start with, right?
Yes, sir. I'm already on here, so, you know, and I see Joy, and I don't know if she wants to since she's already on here, join as well, but maybe she can tell us here in the room or whatever. But, Colonel, take that lapel mic with you, sir. That sounds awesome.
Okay. Actually, I've got the thing down on about, you know, how your percentage is with these computers. You know, usually you crank it up all the way. And I think I've got this thing down to like 5% or something, 5 or 4. And that, you know, you have to do it that low in order to make this thing work. It originally was designed for a cassette Walkman so that you could record in stereo. And I found it when I was looking through a drawer for some money to pay the, I guess he's not a pizza guy. This time it was a spaghetti and sandwich guy. And I'm thinking, you know, I haven't pulled this thing out in a while. It was only used for that particular application. They said, don't try to use it with anything else, you know, because it won't work. And I'm like, well, I'll bet it'll work with a computer. You know, and if not, you know, I can put power through it through the mixer. You know, I bet I can make it go. But no, it's just the opposite. The reason they don't want you using it with anything else was probably because it was too powerful. So yeah, I will do that. I like this because you can clip it to your shirt, and you really don't notice it's... I wish I could show you how small this thing really is. And you really don't notice it's there at all, except for the fact that you've got a wire, but have another wire from the headset anyway. So, you know, it doesn't really make a difference.
Is a whining. Everything we can carry on board through the cinders of dark worlds. Name of man, scent of apple.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I haven't been feeling myself today.
That was cool audio, Bob. It was funny. Once you started speaking, then it started cutting in and out. But as long as you just let the guy sit there and talk and play his music, you were fine.
Yeah. And that's a super mic, Daniel. Speaking of Walkmans, at the consumer show, Sony's brought out a Walkman again.
Yeah, these things were cassette Walkmans, but I think they were $260, and that was in 1980s money, probably around 86, 87, somewhere in there. They had remote control, you know, where you could, everything was all wired in. So, but you could clip this to your belt, and then that way you could either use the buttons on the Walkman or the buttons on the remote control. Pretty decent sounding headphones. I changed those out for something else. But just the really, really small cassette, and the fact that it would record off the radio, FM or AM, and you had presets that you could set in. I mean, really, it was amazing what they started to do with Walkmans after a while to sell them. You know, it was far beyond your just basic tape player.
Braxma, Mr. Braxma, sir, you could have left the room because we're gonna switch to Skype and the doc's gonna connect, Rick's gonna connect or try and connect us rather, and we're gonna go from there. I think he has you. You got Bob on there, on your panel, don't you, there, partner?
I believe so.
All right, that's cool.
I think I might have figured out what my problem with my microphone was. I think I had the channel source up too high, maybe.
That's probable.
I was going to try to connect with Daniel, but it looks like he's not online. That may be why he didn't answer me.
Oh, no, he went out of the room because he was going to go to the back. So close his window out, and just I'll let you know when he comes online. That way you can try it.
Okay. But I was trying it when he was still talking. Well, of course, he was still talking when I was trying it, but he hadn't gone to Skype yet, right? Okay, okay.
Yeah, no, he's not on Skype yet, sir.
Okay, I'm going to disappear for a couple of minutes. The stuff I drank earlier has to continue its process.
So you want to recycle, is that what you mean?
You're putting things. Such a delicate way of putting things.
All right, we'll wait patiently for you to come back and connect us all.
Anybody still there?
Yes, sir. We're waiting for you.
Okay, I was just waiting for Dan because I thought I'd try him instead of running into you first. See, Cosby's got two of his three shows finished in our region successfully. They've only thrown one protester out so far.
All right, and Dan's aboard, sir. Dan's on Skype.
I be seeing him now. Let's see if this works. This mini guy rebooted my machine. As soon as he picked it up, it died.
Yeah, I think you may have to.
Okay. I may have to do a tuck-in shortly, too, but let's try rebooting. If I don't come back soon enough, you guys go ahead without me. We can always experiment some other time. But if I get back soon enough, I'll try again. And I'll try leading with Dan only because we haven't done it before.
Okay. I think everybody's cool with that.